This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Welcome to episode 187. It's the murder, death, kill episode of What Did You Watch This Week? John's button, 187, murder, death, kill.
Murder, death, kill. Love it. Speaking of references to old movies.
Yeah, sure.
I forgot to bring this up last week, so I'm bringing it up right now.
Okay.
Okay. So the previous week's episode of Mr. Robot, which has already been a week now.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. At the end of the episode, when Elliot and Mr. Robot are standing outside the subway, like the area to go down in the subway, I went, wait a minute, that's weird. Because there was a sign behind them, like on the subway part.
Yeah.
Don't worry, I have a picture of it up here. I'll show you in a second.
Yeah.
But I looked at it and I went, that looks really familiar. It was an octagon. Okay. But it was a silver octagon. And it said, the future has a silver lining. And I went, and then inside the octagon, it looked like a C and then an I. And I went, you know, that looks like RoboCop. So this is the picture that I found. It's Omni Consumer Industries.
Dude, that's RoboCop.
Yes. And the city that took over for Detroit, I can't remember the name of it, that was their slogan.
Yeah.
And it was Omni Consumer Products in RoboCop. Yeah. But that is the RoboCop logo.
Yeah, it is.
Just thrown in there. No reference to it, no nothing. Just, here
you go. The hell is the city called in the Detroit? Is it Omni City?
Hold on. I got it right here. Delta City.
Delta City.
The city that will replace Detroit. The future has a silver lining is the slogan.
Yeah, it's OCP. That's weird.
And they almost completely mimicked it here, except for it's OCI, Omni Consumer Industries. For RoboCop. Yeah.
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 That's interesting. That's a good catch, by the way.
And I had it in my notes, and then I left, and I'm driving home, and I go, son of a bitch. I almost turned around to come back here just to record a PS to the episode. But now I've said my piece. I have spoken.
I have spoken. So for those wondering, we're going to talk about The Mandalorian and Mr. Robot at the end of the episode.
After we give you all the spoiler warnings.
Yeah, yeah. Because, well, where those need to be talked about.
Holy motherfucker, do they. Might as well earn that rating right off the bat. Yeah. So, Mike.
Yeah.
What'd you watch this week?
Okay. So, there was no Schooled.
Correct.
No new Emergence, but we haven't watched the last Emergence yet. And I think Kate's given up on it, so I watched that by myself.
Okay.
There was no DC shows, you said?
Apparently, there was Batwoman and Supergirl.
Okay.
But no Flash and Arrow.
Did you watch Batwoman and Supergirl?
Reluctantly.
And thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs in the middle.
Alice is getting cooler because she actually, like, she was stealing people's skin. And she actually made a new face for her little buddy Mouse there who could mimic people. You know, he could mimic anybody's voice. So she made him a new face so that he could disguise himself as this guy and get into a lab and steal a weapon that could penetrate Batwoman's armor.
Okay.
So she's going full DC villain, which is kind of cool.
Oh, big time, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, other than that, like Kate's ex-girlfriend, you know, the one who works for the Crows now, she got shot. And so Kate took her to her little sister's, you know, secret clinic in a warehouse. And because she now knows who Kate is and she's going to tell people. So we got to keep her locked up and get her treated here. Yeah. And then Supergirl was just, it was a lot of flashbacks where we suddenly discover that Julie Gonzalez, the one who bought Catco, her and Lena are friends from way back when they were little girls, and they've been treasure hunting for this medallion with this legend about somebody who could bend shadows to their will. And Julie Gonzalez took the medallion and never told Lena, so now they're not friends anymore. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. God, I can't wait for Crisis to get here.
I know, me too. No Stumptown this week.
Nope. That was disappointing. I really like
that show. Yeah, I do too. However, one show did finish up. American Horror Story 1984 had its final episode.
Thank God.
Called Final Girl.
Yeah.
Did you watch this?
I did.
All right.
Like you said, it's done.
It's done.
You know, might as well.
It's, I mean, it's over. I mean, this takes place, it starts out, it's 2019, and there's some guy looking for the camp, and straight away, I'm like, oh, there, that's Bobby, because that screams obvious.
Who else is it going
to
be?
Right, so Jingle's son heads to the camp to, now as an adult, to try to, you know, looking for answers of what happened to his dad, and find out who's been sending him those checks all those years and everything, because apparently he's been getting checks for years.
Yeah.
So he goes into the camp, runs into Montana and Trevor. They give him the lowdown that they're ghosts because they, you know, killed themselves in front of him.
And gleefully.
Excitedly. And they're excited. They haven't seen anyone new in a long time. They don't realize it's been 30 years since that big concert debacle and everything.
Right, right. And Montana's like, what's that? That can't be a phone. And then she wants to keep it. And
right. So
Trevor talks about getting shot in the dick once and how it stung quite a bit.
We can see that later on.
Yep.
So essentially, the long and the short, they give him the lowdown. And they tell him what they've been doing to the Night Stalker for the last 30 years. How every time he wakes up, they kill him again.
Yeah, they basically turned over a new leaf because Brooke showed up and rescued Trevor. He was shot by what's-her-name there outside of Camp Brown so that he would die and not
Margaret. Come back.
Yeah, Margaret. And when she drove away, Brooke showed up and walked him over the line because, as Montana said, he's the best dick I've ever had. Yeah, that's true love, I guess.
Yeah. But he dies on the property, and so he
repatriates as a ghost.
Yep.
A good ghost.
And
so they decide to turn over a new leaf and be good instead of just murdering people. And
so they just kill Ramirez every time he wakes up.
And they have what they call a death watch.
Yeah. And they do it in various ways. You know, and he feels it all, and the devil never comes to help him until Bobby shows up. And then the devil shows up and helps Ramirez escape, and he starts killing them, and then he goes after Bobby, and didn't he, like, stab him in the back?
Yeah, threw a knife and stabbed him in the back.
Yeah, and slashed him on the arm, and then everyone showed up and stopped him again, and Bobby ran off the property, and Brooke helped him. No.
Montana told him to go to the asylum.
Yeah,
no, and look for the medical director.
Yeah, someone got him. Oh, you know what I'm thinking about? I'm thinking about when found the medical director, who was Diane, whatever her name was. Donna. Finds Donna. Donna tells him the story of how she became the final girl, how they stopped Ramirez, how they
Brooke died.
Yeah, and Brooke died. But then we find out Brooke didn't die.
Right.
That Brooke got helped off the property, and so she's been living in hiding and sent him the checks. And they showed us how Margaret died, which was horrifically.
But tell me, you weren't looking at that going, well, she's going to die before she goes over the fence.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the human brain lives for 30 seconds after it's separated from the body before blah, blah, blah. Well, that apparently wasn't true because we don't, but apparently no one there knows she's still alive.
Right. She's been hiding out for the past 20 years.
Yeah. And 30 years.
30 years.
Because she's like, yeah, well, I died a second before the last little blop of me went over the fence. So I get to stay here. Because
they cut off her arms first and threw them into a wood chipper. And the shoot of the wood chipper came out over the fence.
Yeah.
Outside the property.
Funny, actually.
Yeah. And then they hacked off her legs.
Did the same thing.
I don't mean like with a saw. I mean, they sat there with axes. Chunk, chunk, chunk.
And then they cut her head off and threw her body in before they threw her head in.
Yeah. See, that was their mistake. Yeah. Rookie move. Yeah. So then Margaret reveals herself to be around and wants to take out Jingle's son because, you know, it's all his fault. She's been framing him all these years. So, and then he shows up and...
Well, we're kind of jumping ahead, and I apologize for that. Bobby went and saw Donna, found out Brooke was alive, went through the whole deal, and then decides, I have to go back there and see my dad.
Right, because he never did see his dad. Right.
So he goes back.
Nobody has seen his dad.
He goes back, and this is when he runs into Margaret.
Right.
Yeah.
And basically, Jingle shows up and stabs her in the ear and kills her. But of course, they all come back to life. So while he's having the touching moment with his son and telling him, "You gotta get out of here. You gotta get out of here," then Margaret stabs him and kills him. and then goes after Bobby.
They did how they like to kill the one killer that had no thumbs, where they slit his throat or stabbed him and then pushed him out of the fence yard, and so he died outside the grounds.
That basically funny. Kicked him down the hill. And they're like, rot for hell.
Whatever happened with Ramirez, though? How did he end? How did he end up in the end?
What did they do with him? I feel like they did something. Yeah. I guess they just put him back on the Death Watch.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, they never really say, I guess. Or if they do, I don't remember. That's how great
it was. I don't either,
But when Bobby gets back there, Jingle shows up and saves him from Margaret. And then Lavina shows up and saves him.
Yeah, because that's her grandson.
And basically, like, tells everyone to take Margaret. And they start killing the crap out of her.
They sure did.
And then basically they walk Bobby to the town, to the line of the property, who then turns and looks back at them, and they have a tearful, like, goodbye.
Grown-up Jingles.
Yeah.
Baby brother.
Yeah.
Mom.
Standing there. He looks back at his family, and there's a tear in his eye.
Yeah. There's his dad.
Yeah.
There's
Montana his uncle. Says, just don't let people forget us. Just tell our story.
Mm.
And then, you know, that's the end of it.
Yeah.
Now
I kind of want to look that up while you're talking, because I want to see if they did say what happened to Richie.
Now, I was talking to my buddy, Brandon.
Okay.
And I had asked him, do you watch American Horror Story? Because he's all into 80s pop culture stuff.
Okay.
And he's like, no, I've never seen an episode. I mean, I keep wanting to, but I don't. And so he goes, what do you think of it? So I decided to write a thing, and I want to read this. This season is good, American Horror Story 84, but the story has loads of absurdity. I enjoyed season one, which I did. Season two, Asylum was okay. I never watched season three, Coven, don't plan on it. Season four, Freak Show was pretty good, but there was some terribleness in it. Season five, Hotel, I mean, that was decent because Lady Gaga gets all kinds of naked in it. I mean, you don't see much, but it's enjoyable.
You can find those pictures on the internet, though, if you really want it.
Yeah, I don't know. I like the live action quote finger. Season six, Roanoke, really, really different. I don't know if I like it or not. It was different because it was told in three different point of views, like one of those reenactment ghost story shows, and then like found footage like Blair Witch, and then finally the last episode was a normal point of view. Season seven, Cult, again, okay, good and bad. I hated all the politics, but some of it was interesting. Season 8, Apocalypse, fuck that garbage shit. Okay, it's really funny. I can't give you a hard sell at any of the seasons or how great they were. I mean, probably seasons 1 and 9 were my favorite, but even then, yeah. And he goes, LOL, I think that's why I avoided them. No one can ever say it's a must-watch.
Yeah.
However, I'll probably definitely watch this last season.
You know, if they put it on a different network, like if they put it on an HBO or a Starz, where they could go into more, I hate to say it, but more titillation, you know?
I don't know. This is
gore, sex.
It's pretty graphic in itself. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're dropping the F-bomb now. I mean, you're not seeing, you're seeing naked butts, obviously, and there's lots of implied sex, but you're not, I get you're not seeing anything else, but I mean, yeah, it's, I don't see what a Starz or an HBO or some Showtime, whatever, would really give it that much more. I mean, if the writing's good, the writing's good. If the writing's mediocre, it's mediocre.
True.
You know, I mean, it is pretty graphic.
Yeah. I will give it that.
Yeah. So that's done. I've heard the next season is going to be Coven cast is back, so I probably won't care about watching it. Yeah. Because the Coven cast kind of came back for Apocalypse.
Okay.
So, but anyhow. Let's take a hard departure from that and talk about This Is Us.
Yeah. So this one, the theme was, it started off with Jack and Rebecca making beds, you know, making beds together and, it was supposed to remind us that, you know, this was her love because, you know, they're making the bed together and then they're making a different bed together and then they're making a different bed together. But each time they're talking about how much they love each other and how great this is and how great that is. oh, it's tough raising these kids, and well, we'll never have to do it alone.
It's a passage of time. Yeah. Like, over the years, they're doing it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it gets to Rebecca making the bed by herself, and apparently she can't make a bed by herself because those darn fitted sheets just keep snapping off one corner when she's trying to do the other corner.
Yeah. Yeah. So, multiple different stories going on here. We had Kate's trying to get baby Jack to eat some solid food because he should have started that days ago, and he hasn't yet. That's concerning. And Toby's just like, dude, maybe he just wants to stay on mom's boob milk. Yeah, no big deal. And she's like, no, he should have already been on solid food. And she's trying to get him to try bananas, and he won't eat them. And Toby's like, maybe he doesn't like bananas. She's like, everybody likes bananas. And he's like, well, try something else. She's like, no, we're supposed to do one food at a time so that we can check for an allergic reaction. You know, if we're trying multiple different foods, we never know what. Good God.
Yeah, it's an annoying first-time parent thing.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know. So basically, Toby's like, well, don't change it up because I've already missed so many firsts. I want to be here for his first solid food. So I got to fit in a quick gym sesh and then get to work, and then I'll be home later. She's like, okay.
So previously when Toby was going to the gym, it was like good for him. It wasn't interfering with life. He was keeping it hidden from Kate. That's why. And now she knows about it. So, of course, she has her little like, oh, you spent too much time at the gym.
Mm-hmm.
And so you and I are like, oh, shut up, Kate. Like, he's trying to better himself. But now, already, going to the gym is now apparently more important.
Yeah.
Or they're making it appear that he's prioritizing that over, you know, home time or whatever.
Right.
And so
I don't know if that's really the path they're trying to go down or if it's just that, you know, it was an excuse to get him off the show for the week.
Right.
Which was basically it, you know?
Yeah. And then, of course, you have the neighbor, Gregory.
Mm-hmm. Who I still love.
I do, too. He's not feeling like going for a walk today.
Yeah, and he's very blunt about it, too.
Yeah.
He's just like, no.
Yeah.
He's having a bad pain day or something, and he's like, no. And she's like, well, can I help? And he just turns around and walks away, and she's just standing there, and he's like, are you coming in or what? You're letting all the bugs in.
Yeah. So then he feeds baby Jack some avocado. Oh, here, Jack, you want some nice soft avocado? Well, no, he likes it.
Yeah. Yeah. And Kate's all worried because, oh, God, it's his first solid food, right. And Dad wasn't here for that.
But then Toby comes home like a hurricane and blows in, and now he's going to be Mr. Hero Guy, and we're going to do this, and I'm here for this, and acting super like he's an absentee dad and trying hard not to be one. So he's videoing it, and it was over the top.
It was really over the top because, he's like, I'm going to videotape this. We're going to make him eat. He doesn't check to see if he just woke up. He doesn't check to see if he's actually hungry.
Yeah.
Like, when was the last time he fed him? He's just like, no, here we go. Oh, look, there's avocados on the shelf. Oh, man. She's like, yeah, they came from Gregory's tree. He's like, oh, this is perfect. It'll be soft food. I'll try it. And sticks it in his face, and oh, look at that. He likes it. Kate's sitting there like, do I tell him or not?
In the future, Rebecca's visiting Randall at his office, and she's having lots of senior moments with her memory. We know Pat, this is going down.
Yeah, especially with the preview for next week, where she's like standing in the street looking around like she doesn't know where she is. Randall's giving her grief about it because, you know, this is R&R time, Randall and Rebecca time.
Oh, that's so dumb.
And they've had that since, you know, college years when he basically got her a job by browbeating the manager and telling him, you know, I'm a successful black kid who they adopted and I am top of my class, so I can teach her any software that you need her to know by Monday.
Our dad died last year.
Yeah.
Right.
Did she tell you that? No, she wouldn't tell you a sob story to get a job. And he's like, but you would? And he's like, yeah.
Yeah, I would. Yeah.
Because basically she made a good point. She was like, I've never had to work. Yeah. You know, I haven't had a job because Jack always took care of things.
Yeah. And Daddy took care of things before that.
Because that's the way that things could be back then. That's the way
things were.
Yeah. You could actually have multiple kids in a household and survive on one income. Can't happen anymore.
Nope. It is impossible.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I say it's impossible, but it's it'd be tough.
Yeah.
Oh, Malik and Deja have a moment because Deja wants
air quotes.
Well, Malik's pushing Deja to tell Beth and Randall that she wants to talk to her mom, and she doesn't want to. And so, of course, it's assuming that Malik's the bad guy in this until he tells Beth, well, this is what's going on. And then Beth's like, oh, well, we can visit your mom whenever you want. I want her to come to Thanksgiving. Okay, we'll invite her. Oh, I'm making an expression of doubt and drop.
Yeah. Yeah, this was this week's episode was very annoying in a lot of ways.
So Nikki's got to go to court.
This was the only cool part.
Yeah, it was.
Kevin repeatedly seeing Jack when Nikki was talking.
Yes.
You know, Nikki's like giving him shit about sleeping with Cassidy, and he's like, shame on you.
Yeah,
and it's Jack. Kevin turns around, it's Jack.
Yeah.
And he's like, shame on you. How dare you?
And he browbeats him a couple of times like that.
Yeah.
And then they go to court, and of course Nikki, and Kevin's being, oh, what was me? But they go to court, and Nikki's, you know, gets the judge is like, you know what? I think you're going to do good and blah, blah, blah. So he doesn't have to go to jail.
She asks him, do you have any remorse?
Oh,
and
yeah.
And he gives this big speech where he's like, no, I don't. That throwing that chair through that window was the best thing that ever happened to me because it got me an AA. It got me to stick with therapy. It got my nephew to come back here and we formed a bond and I've met new people and I'm actually doing stuff. So, no, I don't regret it. I'm glad I did it.
Yep.
And that's when she's like, okay.
Yeah. Good.
It's,
as long as you like, don't repeat offend.
You'll, it's like you know. The final parole hearing for Red in Shawshank Redemption, you know, where he's like, but if you ask me, same basic thing.
Yeah.
And Kevin is still bound and determined to help Cassidy get her family back together, you know, even though they slept together.
Yeah. And Cassidy, well, I signed the divorce papers. And of course, she tells him some story. Every night I sit across the street from this restaurant, my son and blah, blah, blah. And so I'm too afraid to go in. So Kevin drives her there and is like,
with Nikki.
Yeah. And he's like, go in. And Nikki's the one that tells her basically, like, you need to go in there. And
he's like, don't live your life like I did.
Yeah. And Kevin's like, well, what if you won't let me sit down and pass him the papers and come back out?
Yeah. And she asks Kevin what he's going to do. And he says, well, basically he's going to crash for the night and make sure Nikki's all set. And then he's going to do Thanksgiving in Philly and then head back out to LA.
Yeah.
So he's signing off from her life.
Right. So I wonder if we won't see her anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But she goes in.
Seems like a pretty big actress to bring in for like a 3 or 4 episode arc.
They brought Sylvester Stallone on the show.
Yeah.
So she rolls inside the restaurant. Of course, she sits down. But he invites Nikki to Thanksgiving dinner, and Nikki accepts.
Yeah.
So,
which was weird.
Yeah.
But Nikki is coming around.
Yeah.
I hope they bring Gregory to Thanksgiving.
Well, they have to fly Gregory from L.A. to Philly.
I know. It'd be cool, though. I think he'd be awesome at dinner. Especially with someone like Randall. Oh, yeah. Oh, and we did get to see one brief flashback with Kate's boyfriend.
Oh, yeah.
Where we did. He's basically a bigger dickhead than we thought he was. Like, he comes in and he calls Randall Randy. Yeah. And he calls Rebecca Rebecca. You know, he's like, hey, Rebecca. Hey, Randy. And they're talking about, like, oh, we're going to go to this place. And he's like, no, you don't like them. You know, he's kind of being controlling to Kate.
Right. And no one's noticing.
Yeah. But, well, Randall does say, what is she seeing him?
Yeah.
And Rebecca's like, oh, well.
I don't know. Shrug my shoulders.
But, yeah, so she's experiencing senior moments. That's going to come up. The one next week is the Thanksgiving episode, but it's also the fall finale.
Okay.
A lot of fall finales coming up next week.
Yeah. Seems accurate.
I'm not sad.
New Amsterdam.
I'm going to catch up with some shows. Yeah.
So the big takeaway from this is Max has gotten to the point where he's just going to accept that his daughter that his wife is gone.
Yeah, because he basically, there's that woman who comes in and she's all banged up and turns out that her baby died before.
Stillborn.
Yeah. Like while still inside of her. And so they give her, what do they call it? Like a cooling crib or something.
It's the slow down decomp.
It's a bassinet that chills the body so that the baby can stay near the mother for a while longer. Yeah. So he basically through her and telling her this story about how, you know, you got to let people go and blah, blah, blah.
He's learning his own lesson by giving her advice.
Yeah.
And then there was Dr. Sharp took a drug addict to a clean drug place and then gets arrested at the end. And
imagine
then,
that.
And then, oh, then they get how her bailed out of jail. How can this be legal?
Oh, it's not.
Yeah. And then and then she's having the argument with her other head of the department who wants to invest money in this, and Sharp doesn't want to
sell this laser thing.
Yeah, and this and that, and everything.
Six patients come in for, and they can make like $48 million on it, or something.
And so Sharp's going to lose her division head, so this girl can take over. That was set up with this whole business.
Yeah.
Blah blah.
What's her name's leg surgery has to be done,
and it was done.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. But she was all worried about it, and then she was kind of loopy at the end there. You know, the other doctor there, the surgeon, snuck in to check on her, and he's like, "Don't tell her that I was here," because she doesn't like him when I look in on her.
And then his protege is realizing maybe medicine's not for him.
Mm. Yeah.
Dr. Kapoor's son's mistress. Baby mama. Yeah, baby mama, love child. She's going to keep the baby, and Kapoor's excited.
Yep.
And then Frome's husband finds out what a piece of shit he's been. Ain't
thank
he?
God.
And is mad at him. Surprise, surprise.
Well, he got the call. Frome got the call that, you know, you have – I don't know how adoption agencies work.
Yeah, you have 24 hours to be in Texas to pick up your child if you want him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, we'll have to talk about this later. And then they called back, and his husband got the call. And Frome's like, well, I do. And he goes, yeah, well, this would be a conversation we were going to have if you were going to be spending the night here, and then shuts the door in his face.
Yeah. Well, no, he was in his office.
Oh, that's right.
If you're going to be at home tonight with me and the kids, and walks out.
Yeah. So, So he basically is like, don't come home.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah.
And then we had the little Asian kid who – you know, was getting drowsy and listless, and it wasn't MS.
It was measles.
Yeah, but a certain strain of measles that he had gotten at the orphanage.
It lied dormant and essentially
up to 10 years it can lie dormant.
It's fatal.
Yep. So basically, they found this miracle cure, but it's not a cure. It's just a treatment that he'll be on for the rest of his life, but at least he'll live. And that's all his parents care about.
Of course they did.
Yeah.
The cures on this show they come up with, it's like Cisco making something on the Flash.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm only halfway through The Good Doctor. I didn't finish it yet.
Okay.
It's I kind of like this episode, though.
Mm-hmm.
It's the kid that's going blind from cancer, and the girl, well, he escapes, and then the girl, I'm going to say the girls, find him.
Mm-hmm.
And the one, we got to get him back. And usually the stuck-up one's like, no, he's got to live life.
Mm-hmm.
I like it when they let him drive the car.
It's a good little bonding adventure.
Yeah. So.
And also watching Glassman try to work with his wife.
Yeah.
Never, ever,
no,
ever, ever work with someone that you're in a relationship with. Never have sex with somebody that you're working with. Never try to be friends with benefits with someone that you're working with. Ever.
This all sounds like
ever.
This all sounds like you're talking from experience.
Yes. Yes, I am.
Of course, I know this.
Multiple times. Never, ever, ever do it. Anyone who says, oh, me and my husband or me and my wife, we've worked together for X number of years and it works out fine. One of you is lying.
You know, I can give you one contrary to that statement.
Sure, go ahead. Try.
You might agree with me. June and Junior.
Nope.
No?
Nope.
They worked for the city together, but in different divisions.
Yep.
They would just ride to work together and ride home together.
Yep, there you go. Different divisions. It's
That's
a different
true.
Job.
That was true. They didn't. They just rode to work and back together.
Yep, which is fine, actually. That's economical. We all like to ride share.
Yeah.
But no. If you're working in the same office, the same building, the same division with somebody that you're sleeping with, or you're trying to just fuck, or you're in a committed relationship, it will end. You will die. You will die inside, and you will never want to be with that person again. One of you is going to try to flee that job just to get away from them.
I'm not going to mention who you're talking about. I know what you're talking about.
We were in a committed relationship for
like
way too long.
Yeah.
For way too long. To have that affect us. I mean, we were up around like 12, 13 years at that point.
Oh, yeah, I know.
That we worked together. And we still, no, there's nothing to talk about. Anyway, we're getting off topic here.
Yeah.
Glassman's learning that lesson.
Yeah.
So, what about the rookie? You're scrolling through your notes.
I know I watched it. I just didn't write anything down for some reason. It must have been when I watched it.
My first note was it was the best cold open ever, because they always have a nice cold open, you know, where something happens that has nothing to do with the rest of the episode.
Right.
But yeah, this was the best one ever. It's the one where Tim's watching the football game.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
And it gets interrupted. He's all pissed because it's a high speed chase. And he looks at the road and he like goes over and he's putting on his shoes and he calls dispatch and he's like, sign me in for overtime. Hangs up the phone, gets in his car, backs out of his driveway, right in the path of the guy, puts the gun up, makes him get out, get on the ground. Then he's like, you got him? Yeah. Puts it in drive, pulls back into the driveway.
And then you see him inside celebrating with the football game.
Yes.
Yeah. That was a pretty
literally
awesome
cold the best open. Cold opener ever. I just, and again, it had nothing to do with the rest of the episode. It was just awesome.
Yeah, that was very good.
This is the episode we've been waiting for, where Nolan and his girlfriend are going to break up in the dumbest way possible, because, you know, she's late. She thinks she might be pregnant. So he starts questioning life and, oh, what am I going to do having another kid at my age in this job? And he talks to the captain. The captain's like, oh, I love my kids. But, you know, yeah, it's a risk. And, you know, you never know if you're going to come home and blah, blah, blah. And so she finds out, she takes the test. Nope, she's not pregnant. She's all set. But she wants to be pregnant. Boy, she wants to be pregnant. Oh, God. Until she realized that she didn't even know.
But you know what, though? I actually believe this.
Yeah. Well,
I do believe that. Like, she, now that she thought, you know what I mean? Like, now she realizes, you know what? Actually, I guess I did want to be pregnant.
Yep. And so then, of course, Nolan goes, well, I can't do that. I don't want to be pregnant. I don't want to have another kid with my line of work and blah, blah, blah. And
well, this is the way they can break them up and Nolan and Allie Larder can start.
Well, yeah, because he had talked to her at the hospital about it while he was teaching the class that she was involved in, which
was a birthing class.
Was a birthing class. And that guy walked in and tried to drag his baby mama out of there and then pulled a knife on her and cut Nolan pretty good in the arm. Then he got the old.
Yeah, that was a big laceration.
Yep. And then he got the old riot stick to the back of the knees.
So, but, you know, you go back to the episode of JD and Mandy Moore dating on Scrubs, where, like, usually they make fun of him and, oh, we'll make fun of you for it because it's what you always do. But then they're like, they broke up because he wanted these things and she didn't see herself being there. And so it wasn't going to work out. And
yep.
Instead, they're like, no, you're actually.
She's like, so what do you want to do next? And he's like, oh, we could look into getting a house. We could do this and this and this. She's like, I was talking dinner.
Yeah.
Yep. So, yeah, that's where Nolan and his girlfriend are.
Well.
Or ex-girlfriend, I guess.
Yes, it makes sense, though.
They had a lot not going for them anyway, you know?
Yeah.
Diaz kind of got written out this episode for the most part. Well, it seemed like she was going to, because she was tending to Wesley, and he's being a big baby and getting on her nerves. And they're like, well, he did get stabbed. Yeah, but none of his major internal organs got hit. But then she takes a job on the side doing security. For a guy and private security. And that ties in with West and Tim are doing, you know, they're running security over at the school, watching the football players, talking to them about stuff for some reason. And
yeah,
that kid, it turns out his mom was in for armed robbery because she's a getaway driver. And then they're trying to escape the life and their car gets firebombed. And then a little while later, she gets kidnapped and told that she has to do this or her son's going to get hurt. So they're out to rob the stuff that Diaz is protecting with the guy.
And, of course, they stop it all and people go to jail and get arrested. And and mom's like, they forced me to do this. Yeah, we know, but we still have to take you into custody for now.
Yep. Nolan's TO got paired with Chen.
Yeah.
And she kind of pulled a Tim on her.
Yeah.
You know, she basically, like, she kept calling her not Nolan. She goes, I only know Nolan's name, so today you're not Nolan.
I thought that was funny.
And she kept it up through the whole episode, except for at the end when she said it, and Chen's like, you call me Chen down in the sewer, or in the building over there, so I know you know my name.
Yeah.
But basically, she told her, at first she was like, yeah, you shouldn't be doing anything but, like, traffic reports. You're not cut out to be a cop. And she told her, she's like, Tim can teach you all he wants, but I'm going to tell you right now, you're a woman.
Yeah.
You're a woman of color and you're about 5'6" and people are going to go for you all the time. You are weak You are not you're not going to be able to cut it. So you need to learn to fight the way that you can.
See, we've seen Chen handle herself though many times.
Yes, we have. And yeah, this woman's just coming into it.
Right, yeah. And so she doesn't know what Chen's already accomplished. So I thought that was pretty judgmentally harsh of her.
Oh, yeah.
Which I thought she had gotten out of that mode, mm-hmm. but whatever. But then, of course, by the end of the episode, Chen proves her wrong.
Because they take out a bomber that, you know, has been on the run for years and years because somebody happened to find a red hair. And this is community policing, so they're going to talk to him because all of his neighbors are complaining that he's feeding the squirrels. And squirrels attract coyotes.
Yeah.
And he's like, they're squirrels. I can feed them if I want. Yeah. But he had burn mark on his hand. So that may actually, like, link him to bombing. And he doesn't have any history in the army, so maybe he was that bomber that they're looking for. Yep. So
turns out he was.
Yep.
And he booby trapped his house.
Yep.
But
Chen figured it out because he's been there for 10 years.
Waiting for people to show up. Yeah.
So she looked for the wear marks on the tie on the panels of wood on the floor to like, oh, that's one safe to step on.
10 years of stepping in the same spots all the time.
Yep. God, can you good thing he's not a sleepwalker.
Or have friends over, apparently.
Right. Yeah. Or just get mad one day and, like, come running in and be like, God damn it.
But then again, it's not like the bombs were set constantly. He had to activate the bombs.
True.
That's so, true. I mean,
it's a burglar alarm, as you said.
Either way,
yeah.
Chen proved herself by the end.
Yep.
It was a good episode.
It was.
I liked it.
I still like this show.
The Blacklist.
Interesting story. This one actually felt like a real Blacklister.
It did, yeah. This was, I was trying to explain this to my wife. The long of the short of it is this. The primary thing that we have here is a governor wakes up. He's been kidnapped. He's been held for 3 months. He's let go. He won't tell anyone why or what's happening because he doesn't know.
He was in a storage unit with balloons all over the place and a letter that he reads, but we don't get to see.
Right. But the only thing we see, it's kind of blurry. We see it later. It says, follow this pill regimen or you will die.
Yeah.
And basically, like, later on, we see that he's had some sort of surgical operation done to him, but we don't
know. Looks like about where his appendix would come out.
There's two big lacerations he has in him. And then one's a healed up scar and one's a fresh one. And then a fresh laceration that's been sutured. And the long and the short of it's this. There's a woman.
You already said that once.
I know. But there's a woman who was a doctor. She got raped.
In college.
Yep. She got impregnated. Because of the state she lives in, it's abortions are against the law. She tried to have one done, and she got charged with trying to murder her baby and went to prison. And her kid was born in prison.
Yeah.
And then she got out of prison, and you know her rapist went to jail as well. But she got out of prison and got custody of her kid. Her rapist got out of prison
early
because of overcrowding and filed for parental rights of the child. So she apparently kidnapped him and has held him down in the basement for God knows how long of their house where he's tied up and she brings him food and everything. But, like, you know, she hates this guy.
And she's
she makes him wear a pig mask.
Yeah.
A metal pig mask.
And she's milking him.
Yep. Yep. Well, we find out later she's milking him. And basically what she's doing is she's done this to one other person already. And now this governor and a third guy that she just did this to. And essentially she's kidnapping men of high stature who preach like a preacher, this governor and this other. I don't know what his role
is. He's some political guy.
But some political guy. And basically these are all people that are anti-abortion. And in her mind, what she says is you tried to tell me what I can and can't do with my body. And now I'm going to do the same to you. So she's doing this experimental procedure where she's transplanting a healthy womb uterus from a donor into the men. And then once it's healed up and it's ready to go, she implants a fertilized egg in there from the sperm of her rapist. And then once there's a viable heartbeat, they release the person.
Because, oh, there's a viable heartbeat. You can't get an abortion. Yeah.
And now there's a pregnant man. And that's what it comes down to where this preacher, he carries the baby to term and gives birth and now has a son.
Because he says, oh, God's testing me.
Yeah, because he's a man of his conviction. Yeah. And then the governor goes to see his doctor and says to her, you need to take this out of me. And he goes, she goes, well, if I were to do that, I would spend the rest of my life in jail for murder.
Because you made that law.
Because you made that law. So this is real. I mean, like, I can't think of a more politically social commentary driven episode than this one of this show.
Yeah.
And then that governor, even at the end of the episode, is in New York. And the woman says, I need to tell you that, you know, even if you have the abortion in New York, your attorney general could still prosecute you for, you know, conspiracy to commit murder.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, yeah, you don't have to tell me about the damn law. I wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, okay, I just need to let you know. And then he goes, I was raped.
Yeah.
And he signs his name. So, yeah, I'm not agreeing. I mean, and then they allegedly say that the science is real. This could actually happen. It's just never been tested or tried.
I didn't bother looking it up.
I didn't bother looking up either. It was just rather fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and this woman, of course, you know, the FBI get on to them and find out and blah, blah, blah. And I'm not going to go into that whole detail, but she does end up shooting the guy in the head that raped her.
Yep.
And so she's going to go to prison forever, but that's okay because her mom and dad are going to take care of their granddaughter. She'll have a great life.
Yep. Because basically she was like, he's going to get parental rights and that's
not Yeah, right. If I go to prison, I'm going to prison. Yep. He's going to get parental rights. That's not happening.
Yep.
Yep. So, yeah, because she was going to go to prison for the abduction and the – I don't know what you charge someone for doing medical experiments on someone, but – or doing what she did, impregnating men.
I'm sure they'll find something.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they will. But and then the backstory. Go ahead.
Oh.
Red story.
Well, this was actually interesting.
The
last scene is what made it interesting.
Yeah.
So basically, Katerina's looking for someone, and she talks to this guy who's going to get her some information. She's looking for a Russian agent. And it turns out she's looking for Ilya Soklov, which is – up until this point, as we all thought, was Red.
Yeah.
Because we were told that Red was Ilya and that he took on the name of Red Reddington to escape everything and, you know, to basically take over that life. So she's looking for him. These Russians show up and ambush her in the park in a bathroom, you know, one of those nice park bathrooms. The guy that she's getting the information from comes in and stops them at first, but then he gets taken out with a tire iron and they drag him off and she snaps the neck of one of them. And little Agnes comes in and sees that and goes, what's wrong with that man? Oh, he's sleeping. Let's let him sleep. And then she's like, why are you nervous? Well, I'm nervous that your mommy's never going to let us play together again if you tell her what happened with a sleeping man. She's like, I promise I'll never tell. I pinky promise.
Oh, okay. Real quick, before you continue on, has Agnes become that super annoying kid that you hate? Like, who's the other kid we hated? What show is that?
Manifest?
Yes. No, the other one. With the little kid. Maybe it was before we started recording the podcast, but there was some little kid on the show that we absolutely despised.
It sounds like a lot of little kids. I mean,
that's true.
I can't pinpoint one, but I know that there have been a lot of times that there's like a small child and I'm like, fuck you. Which you shouldn't say about a small child. Because
you know, you shouldn't say that. All right, go ahead.
So basically, it turns out that the Russians that went there knocking on her door and, you know, dragged the guy off, they're trying to get the information out of him and he won't give it to them. Red's doing some digging of his own and finds out that, you know, hey, they went and ambushed her. Well, Red had told them, hey, I'm looking for this woman. And if you see her, don't go after her. You let me know. Don't tip her off. And they decided to go in anyway. And he's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And they're like, ah, we don't need to listen to you. We don't need to take orders from you. So he kills them. And because he recognizes the guy with the information, he's like, oh, it's you. You know what? He'll never talk because he has something that you don't have, which is backbone, and then shoots him. And then talks to the guy who had the information. He's like, what was she looking for? She was looking for a Russian agent. Who was she looking for? Ilya Soklov. And he's like, that's it. Everything changed. We got to get out of here. And he's like genuinely disturbed. And then we see
Katrina and her henchmen knock on a door. And then the guy we got introduced recently.
Yeah. I always want to call him Sean Bean, but it's
not. Yeah, it's not him, but it's like Raymond Reddington's friend. And
the one who's been feeding him info and helping him out with stuff.
Yeah.
And she's like, hello, Ilya. It's been a while.
So Red can't be Ilya then.
Right. So who is Red really?
Because they've been, I mean, essentially, we've all been told, oh, this, the real Raymond Reddington's dead. This Raymond Reddington is this former friend of Katrina, because Katrina's the one that paid for him to have the surgery, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And maybe that whole story was true, but it wasn't Raymond Reddington he turned into. I don't know.
It throws everything off.
Yeah, it really does. Yeah, it kind of throws everything out there.
Yeah. And this is the only way that they can keep this show going beyond this season, I think.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. Yeah.
So I think what we have left are some of the half-hour comedies and then other stuff before we get into Mr. Robot and The Mandalorian.
Yeah, so half-hour comedies, Perfect Harmony.
Yep.
Solid.
Yeah, it was Arthur has to watch the church.
And he, of course, thinks it's super easy, and then, of course, it compounds on him, and then he realizes the preacher's job's harder than he thought.
First, he pulls a Sherlock on the guy that walks in, and he's like, I can see this, and I can see this. Yeah. Basically, you don't like your job, you need a new job. And the guy's like, great. And then his wife comes in later, and she's like, what the hell did you tell my husband? He wants to quit his job. And he's like, you need to use your secret feminine weapon. So she maced her husband.
My favorite part is when she's like, Tennessee, he wants us to move to Tennessee. And then he turns to her and goes, people in Kentucky think there's someplace worse.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And then, so basically there's a bunch of chaos there, and Anna doesn't know if she wants another baby or whatever. I call her Anna because that's her real name.
Yeah.
Dwayne and the other woman there are making stew, and he wants it to be vegetarian. She throws meat in it. So then they're like, oh, every time he adds an ingredient, she's going to add one. And they're just throwing in.
And so he's like, puts in salt and then cinnamon in his apron, which catches fire. Then she throws her phone in it.
Yeah.
That'll teach him.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Shirley was on a secret mission. She wouldn't tell anybody. And Wayne picks her up at the hospital, and she doesn't realize it's him at first. And
okay.
She's all drugged up.
No. Okay. They go, hey, so she may not act herself because she's got some pretty heavy sedate, da-da-da-da-da. She goes, oh, not this, motherfucker. And they bleep that. And he goes, nope, she's fine.
Yep, that's her. And then they're driving down the road. She's like, can you believe they tried to send Wayne to pick me up? The hell is wrong with
that? Well, no, they have a really nice talk first. And then she says that. And he goes like, Well, that was a special moment, but I guess it's gone. My favorite is when they're in the room and she's like getting up and walking around and goes, don't worry. I'm well skilled at like wrangling inebriated people. Well, I guess I'll just leave with my van full of good looking men who are afraid of strong women.
And she goes, she's like, oh, they're afraid, are they? Let me add them.
Who aren't afraid of strong women. That's right. And she's like, yeah, and then walks into a door.
But yeah, she was getting her eggs frozen because she doesn't know when she's going to want to have a family. Yeah.
She's becoming a woman of a certain age.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed this episode. I thought it was funny.
Yes.
Then we had...
Superstore?
Oh, I hated this fucking episode.
Really?
I did. I hated it so much.
I only liked the fact that they were trying to fuck with Fred Armisen.
I hated the episode. I found it so annoying.
Like when he had the one little toy soldier and he's like, oh, I'm donating
basically
toys. Give me a $5
gift everything price. He did.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. I just and Mateo was over the top obnoxious asshole in this one.
And the whole thing
more than normal.
As they kept having to remind each other, they were trying to get toys donated for charity to make Mateo look good.
Yeah.
Not to do good, to make Mateo look good.
Yeah.
And they were going to videotape.
And Amy did her typical, tried to backpedal and lie, and then it was just, I just didn't like this episode.
No, I hear you.
I mean, I didn't even like, even the shit that was supposed to be funny, I didn't find funny.
Colleen ghosted Garrett. That was rather painful to watch.
Yes, that was.
Because he was in denial for quite a while.
Oh, yes.
Cheyenne's just like, you know, all the stuff that he's coming up with. And he's like, you know, oh, no, her phone was in her car and it got towed. Oh, and then, you know, her battery died because it overheated because of greenhouse gases. And she's like, wow. And he's like, don't say it like that. And we're totally going to get together, except for her dad's in a play, so she has to go out of town for like a week or so. She's like, uh-huh, that sounds, and he goes, totally plausible? No, it doesn't. It's not plausible at all. Yeah, he finally has to admit it.
That's the best. That was the best part.
Yeah.
But I couldn't.
It still wasn't even that good.
No. Good place.
The funerals.
Yeah.
Greatest funeral on the planet.
Yeah.
We had the two stories. We had the funerals, and then we had the results of the test.
And basically, the results of the test, long and short of it, is that the judge
You're
says,
in love with that phrase.
Today. Yeah, I know.
You keep saying that phrase. I do not think that it means what you think that it means.
The judge thinks that. I am saying that a lot. I have to fix that.
That the points are off.
Basically, the judge says, hey, you're right. The points are off. They're not valid. We really can't judge humanity based on this. Yay. Yeah. So you won. All right. So we're going to blip humanity out of existence and just restart from the beginning. And I'll see you guys all in like 6 billion years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she has a little button that looks kind of like a garage door thing. She's going to press it to annihilate it. And suddenly Janet steals it.
Yeah.
You know, it's in my void. And she's like, fine, I'll go into your void and look for it. And she goes in there, and Janet's like, turns out it wasn't her. It was Bad Janet.
Yep.
And Bad Janet actually read Michael's manifesto on the toilet.
Poop because I choose to, not because I have to. I love that part.
And she actually called a meeting of all the Janets.
Yep.
And we got to see all kinds of different Janets. Most of them were the same. We got like a disco Janet, roller skate Janet.
Yeah, we got the bad Janets, the good Janets, and then the middle, like the plain Janets or whatever. And I loved how they all just like the plain Janets just the whole time.
And basically, they just keep pouring in through all three portals until the judge snaps her fingers and seals it off. So that, you know, they've just got a bunch of them in there, and they won't tell her which one of them has the button in their void. Yeah. So she says she's going to go Janet by Janet and then look in their void. If she doesn't find it, she's going to marbleize them.
Yeah. And so Eleanor's like, we need to wake up Chidi. He's the only one that can, you know, ethically find a reason to prove the judge wrong as to why we just need to just change the point system.
Yep.
And
because everyone had gotten better except for Brett.
Yes. Who 1% worse.
Yep. But they said that in the last 10 seconds, he actually spiked. Like,
yeah.
Because he was about to apologize. So he actually spiked. And that's why she was like, yeah, the point system is flawed.
I like how Michael said, we're going to wake up Chidi. We're going to give him the memories of 800 lives and then tell him he's got 45 minutes to come up with a way to save all of humanity.
Yeah.
Oh, must be a doing 1 hour series finale. Does this show end this week?
I don't know if it's this week, but I know this is the last season.
Right. Isn't there like, is there 10? If there's 10 episodes, that would be a 2-episode season finale.
I thought that they were like 13 episodes per season.
I mean, maybe they figure it out. And the next episode is called The Answer, which is episode 9.
Okay. And does it say that there's another?
No, there's nothing listed after it, but hold on. Oh, yeah. 14 episodes this is going to consist of.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, it doesn't come back till January. So basically the answer is on November 21st, and then episode 410 is January 9th.
Oh, yeah. So we're going to have like a whole month off to watch other stuff. Okay. Any other shows you watched?
Well, don't forget that they had the funerals.
Basically, that's right.
They talked about how everybody had shitty funerals.
Yes.
On, like Jason's, they just graffitied a Red Lobster about him, and he's like, yeah, that's pretty much the Florida way to do things. So they had these shitty funerals, and so they all held funerals for each other, which was kind of nice. You know,
I liked how they got Chidi to be with them.
It looks like a Weekend at Bernie's kind of
thing. And he's sitting in the raft in the pool with the drink in his hand, just floating around. That was funny.
How is he so jacked? Well, when he was before he was a teenager, somebody told him that exercise could stave off anxiety.
Yeah.
And he just started blasting his glutes.
And doing push-ups and never stopped.
Yep. Yeah.
Tahani, her funeral was on a private jet because that's where she felt more was comfortable.
Yep.
Eleanor's funeral was in like sweatpants wearing a shirt that said like, I'm dead.
Yep.
Or something like that. And made Tahani wear sweatpants. She goes, as I'm wearing sweatpants for the first time ever in my life.
They wanted to have a funeral for Janet, but she was like, I'm just happy to be around you guys. You know, Jason's the first one to ever ask me what my feelings were. I don't have any, but it was nice to be asked. And
they gave Chidi a funeral where he just sat around his books.
Yep. I like at one point when he was dressed in the male outfit.
When they're picking him up and Eleanor is just like, help me, he's help me, I can't lift him. My hands are full of his ass.
Yeah. I watched a new show this week.
Oh, yeah?
What'd you watch? Other than Mandalorian. I watched the first episode of Dollface on Hulu.
I'm tempted because it's Kat Dennings, but...
It's fucking great.
Oh, really?
Okay. So it is... It's like a fantasy world kind of thing. It's not really a fantasy world. So basically what happens is in the opening scene, you know, there's a bunch of couples at a cafe and she's sitting there with her boyfriend and he's like, she's like, how's the food they're eating? And he's like, oh, it's really good. And she's like, can I try a bite? And he goes, I don't love you anymore. And basically they've been together for 5 years and they break up.
Yeah.
So he drops her off. It looks like in the middle of nowhere. And he's basically just like, yeah, when you're not around, I'll come over and pick up my stuff. And, you know, you can crash out someplace else. And so she has a bus ticket and the bus pulls up and there's a cat woman on there, like a woman with the head of a cat. She's like, what? You ain't never seen a cat lady before? And basically the bus is filled with other women who just got dumped and broken up with. And like, as they're driving down the road, she's trying to talk to her about how, you know, you gave up all your female friendships. They've all, you know, you haven't bonded with any women in forever. And that's very important. Women have to bond with each other. Like, this one girl, she's crying. She goes, stop the bus. I give up. I can't take this anymore. So the woman stops and opens up the door. And there's like a little bus stop. And there's a guy standing there. And it says Rebound City. And the girl runs off and jumps in his arms. And she's like, well, lost another one. But it's that kind of stuff. You know, it's all these crazy metaphor type things. She goes to a place that basically tells her, oh, sorry, all your friendships have expired. She goes, what do you mean they're friendships? They don't expire. Well, you didn't renew them over the past 5 years, so they've all expired. So
that seems valid, actually.
You're going to have to get some new friendships. So it's really good lessons, but it's done in such a weird way. Like, everything is absurd and over the top. I think you'd really like it.
I'll check it out.
Yeah, I've only watched the first episode. I really want to watch more, though. So
I discovered I have a Roku TV, and when I put it on, it's got little, like, when I go to the Roku menu or I choose if I watch my antenna or whatever apps I want to watch, there's an advertisement on the side. And ever since the launch of Disney Plus, it's like Disney Plus paid Roku a shit ton of money because, like, the background I set to just whatever the default one of the season, whatever Roku does, I don't make my own. It's all Disney Plus oriented. Every single ad is Disney Plus. But Roku has a channel called Roku TV Channel.
Now provided by Disney Plus.
No. It's been around for a long time. I've looked at it once. I remember you told me about it. Yep. So you click on it. It's their own TV app. Mm-hmm. They have Cold Case on there. Every season. Every episode. Of course, there's commercials, but it's whatever. Mm-hmm. And they haven't edited the songs off.
Oh, nice.
Because remember, I don't know if you remember, like several episodes ago, I brought up the fact that Cold Place isn't available on DVD or home video. It's not streaming anywhere. Can't watch it. So the wife and I have watched 5 or 6 episodes.
Nice.
So it started in 2003. It still holds up. But the clothes sometimes are hilarious. Like, that's what people wore in 2003? Like, because, like, all these, like, there's this one particular actor, but, like, the guy's suits are, like, too big, and it's just weird. It's just, like, that was the clothing style of 2003. My clothing style has never changed. I wear jeans, t-shirts, flannel shirts, zip-up hooded sweatshirts. I mean, that's been me.
Short pants whenever you can get away with.
Short pants when I can get away with, absolutely. Since high school. Like, I don't have style. So
I feel like you and Kevin Smith could get a podcast together about style.
Oh, no, I don't smoke pot.
No, but yeah. So that's why I said about style.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, so it's just so that's kind of comical. But the show's great. And it's funny because I think it's the very first episode we're watching. My wife's like, hey, that's Quinn from How I Met Your Mother. So there's all these like, is it? No, not Fiona. Is it? Monroe's wife from Grimm.
Oh, yeah.
She's on an episode.
Nice.
So there's all these people that I'm seeing, like, the, and like, you know, it's like watching, Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Mm-hmm. When you watch the movie and you look at all these young actors and what they went on to become. Wet Hot
American Summer, the original movie.
Yes, exactly. Another great example. That's like kind of watching the show, looking at all these special guest stars and stuff we've seen them in their sense nice. And everything. But yeah, no, it's great. It's fun. So we've been watching that. And since we got Disney Plus, we've watched Bambi, Lady and the Tramp, 101 Dalmatians.
Now, was this the animated Lady and the Tramp?
All the original animated ones. All the original ones, yeah.
Wesley Must Be in Heaven.
Oh, yeah. Like, he really likes them. He's never seen any of them before, so he actually really likes them a lot. He thinks it's great.
That's cool.
We like them because they're classic, you know, Disney movies that I haven't seen in years because I don't own them. So Disney Plus, you know, it's weird. Like, I don't know how your timeline lines up with all this, but like, oh, okay. The only exception to the rule is when WWE Network launched, because me and my friends, all my wrestling friends that got it, like everyone talked about how great it was. This is the first time I can think of an app launching where people are just going crazy gaga on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. Of what they're watching, how much they like it, how it's so great.
Yeah.
You know, they had 10 million subscribers on launch day.
Yep.
That's insane.
And that's not counting those of us who signed up early.
Right. But that's just insane. And so there's just, I mean, have you experienced that as well with your timelines and feeds?
Oh, God,
stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, especially with The Mandalorian.
Well, yes. We'll get into that. Even if you take that out of the equation, mm-hmm. I mean, like, yeah, it's kind of unreal how many people that I know that, I mean, okay, well, you and I know a bunch of people that signed up back on Labor Day weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a bunch of people I know that I didn't know that signed up then that have signed up since then or got it or this is what we're watching mm-hmm. or,
yeah.
I mean, it's definitely the new toy that everyone's excited about right now.
It is, and for good reason.
Oh, yeah. There's
some good stuff on there.
Yeah.
It was really funny. Family Guy had a new episode last night.
Oh, I watched 4 minutes of Family Guy, and I think I saw what you're about to say.
the we could bring in Hercules.
Yeah.
Now that we're owned by Disney, we can have Hercules in here because they're doing the Battle of Troy. And he like looks right and goes, what? We can't? No? Oh, I am tired. I am so tired of being told no.
He goes, who can we have? And it was like,
Oh, yeah. Who was it? It was something stupid.
Launchpad McQuack?
Yes.
Launchpad McQuack.
No, I'm just tired. I'm so tired of being told no over and over again. Like, what was even the point of the merger?
Yeah, I literally like turned it on for a few minutes and I saw that one part.
Would have been great to have Hercules in there, but
yeah.
There was something I was going to say about that, though. I can't remember what it was. You were talking about how you were watching Disney Plus and Roku TV and Cold Case.
Yeah.
I will say that my last recorded time I think was 87 hours and I finally finished Death Stranding.
Oh, so now that the video game.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Which I bring up here just because it's practically a movie. I mean, there's so many cutscenes in this thing. 87 hours though. I've finished it. I've got a few things left to tidy up. Beautiful, beautiful world, beautiful acting.
Like yeah.
The voice acting, the motion capture was great. You really felt like you were controlling Norman Reedus. So
that's cool.
Yeah. And there were plenty like,
I would like to know how much time he put in doing the motion capture.
Sure, there was a ton of
voices.
Dude, it's not even just in the game. So like your main way that you save is private rooms and they all look the same. There's like a little bed and there's a couple of tables and there's a shower, but it's all futuristic.
Uh-huh.
So you can take a shower and look at Norman Reedus's butt. And I'm sure plenty of people did that over and over again. But like, if you just leave him idling there, he'll do different things. Like if you haven't used the toilet in a while, because there's a toilet, you can choose to go number one or number two. He'll sit there and he'll like point over at the toilet and then make the little prayer hands. Like, please, please, I got to go. He won't actually say it. Or like, you know, you'll look at the door to leave and he'll shake his head. No, like, no, no. And it's all just like, it's real. Like, it's really like he's just sitting there doing this stuff.
Huh.
It's beautiful. But yeah. So the amount of time that he probably spent in those mocap suits is insane. I would be sure. Yeah.
Anyway. Well, I mean, yeah, I was just curious.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you think about that episode of Krusty the Clown where he shows up to record the voices for his doll, and he does it in, like, five seconds. So it's like, do they just record Norman for the day, and then they've got everything they need, and they can just splice and edit whatever they want? Or right. does he spend hours and hours and hours doing motion capture stuff?
I would say that the cutscenes in the game alone probably span 10 hours.
I know, like, there's some independent wrestlers that did a lot of the motion capture for, like, WWE, WWE 2K20 or 2K17, whatever, over the years. And I'll see them post things, like, they spent literally, like, the entire week doing motion capture for the
game. Because they want to make sure that they get everything. Like, oh, what if one of the players wants to pick up a ladder and hit him? Okay, we got to get motion capture of what it's going to look like for you to get hit by a ladder. Oh, what if the ladder's on the floor of the ring and you run and you trip over it? Well, we got to get motion capture of that. So it's intense.
I bet it is.
I can only imagine how much time and energy it takes. Anyway, that was just my little.
Got any news or trailer? Or got any movies you went to see or watched?
I did. No.
I got nothing new to share. I didn't Redbox anything. And
hopefully this weekend I'm going to go see Jojo Rabbit.
See, I'm really excited to go see the Mr. Rogers film.
Yes. See, my friend Kelly was like, oh, we should hang out on Sunday. And I was like, well, there's going to be the Mr. Rogers movie. There's Jojo Rabbit. And there's one other one that's in theaters that I was like, oh, I would see any of those. And she's like, well, I can't go see the Mr. Rogers one because my husband wants to see it. I'm like, fine. You can go see it with him. I'll go see Jojo Rabbit then. Yeah. And I'll go see Mr. Rogers separately.
Yeah.
What was the other one? There's one of the movies that's out right now. But you're really excited to go see that one.
Yeah, I really am. I mean, that looks great. It's Tom Hanks as Mr. Rogers. I mean,
it's Tim Hanks. Tim Hanks.
It's Odom Shanks.
Odom Shanks. Yeah. It's not Last Christmas. That'd be like a date movie, I think.
Oh, Knives Out. Oh, that's out this weekend?
Yeah.
I want to see that.
Tonight. Knives Out, Mr. Rogers, and I want to see Jojo Rabbit. If I don't get to
see want to see Jojo Rabbit at some point, but it's not a theater-driven movie for me. But I definitely want to see Knives Out. I want to see the Mr. Rogers movie.
Yes.
I didn't see any new movies. I already told you we watched a few on Disney Plus. Have you watched anything on Disney Plus besides The Mandalorian yet?
I really haven't, in all honesty. Mm-hmm. Death Stranding's been taking up a lot of my time.
Fair enough.
And I'm finally done with it, so I can move on to Jedi Fallen Order.
Nice.
Which is exciting.
Any trailers?
It's canon.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Where
does it fall in the timeline?
It falls before A New Hope and after Revenge of the Sith. It's after Order 66. Okay. You play a kid who escaped Order 66.
Oh, okay.
And has to hide that he's a Jedi at first.
Oh, cool.
The only one trailer that I saw was one that you just watched before I came over here, which was Avenue 5.
That looks amazing.
It's from it's HBO. It's going to be in January. It's a comedy series about basically a spaceship, a luxury spaceship. You know, think the Titanic in space.
Mm-hmm.
Hugh Laurie seems to be, I don't know, is he the captain?
He's the captain, yeah.
Yep. And then Josh Gad is the... It looks like drunken genius who, you know,
either built owned or engineered or something to do with it. Yeah.
And it's by the people who brought us Veep, which I've never watched, either but I hear amazing things.
Same.
It looks like a riot. It's Hugh Laurie. I mean, Hugh Laurie is one of those guys. Like, I was talking to somebody today about how much I hate Bob's Burgers.
Yeah.
And I'm not supposed to because I'm supposed to like that kind of stuff. But I just don't like Bob's Burgers.
I just don't care for it either.
And then I went into this big, long diatribe about how each one of the characters is self-absorbed, sociopathic, neurotic, et cetera, except Mr. Fish Odor, because Kevin Kline, much like Hugh Laurie, can't do any wrong. I almost said Hugh Jackman for some reason, although Hugh Jackman's right up there. But, you know, Hugh Laurie is one of those actors who just does so much good. Whatever role he's in, he's just awesome. So I'm looking forward to seeing him as the smug captain.
Well, okay. So in the trailer, the last thing you see is this woman's like, well, you're trying to go up to some escape pod. And he's like, ma'am, I assure you, if there was an escape pod, I would put you in it and then set the fucking thing on fire. That's gold.
Yes. It is fucking amazing.
Yeah. The only other trailer I saw was actually tonight.
What you got?
You wouldn't care. Trolls World Tour.
Are we talking Trolls like yes. Warwick Davis?
No, no, no. Trolls like the Trolls cartoon that came out a couple years ago. I know. The sequel comes out this spring.
Yeah,
I have no idea. Wesley will want to watch it. He loved the original Trolls movie. He must have watched that 697 times.
Wow.
Yeah.
More impressive, that he watched it that many times or that you kept telling.
No, no, I just threw a number out there. Most of the time when he was watching it, he'd be in the van watching it on his tablet, which is Velcro to the back of my headrest. So I would listen to Trolls.
So you're kind of excited in a weird way.
I listened to it so many times, it grew on me.
I was going
to
say, it's one of those that it's drilled into the back of your head, literally.
Yes. It's kind of like the number of times that Addison watched Tangled. I watched that so much, it's like I know the words. I could recite Tangled practically because I've heard it so many times, mm-hmm. you know? Luckily for me, Kanan didn't have one movie particularly watched over and over and over again. It was everything, no. A lot of Phineas and Ferb. A lot of The Wiggles. Oh, for the love of God, The Wiggles. Got any news?
Yes, I do. Do you?
I probably read some shit along the way, but...
Netflix and Nickelodeon are teaming up. They're going to start making more shows.
Yeah.
People are like, oh, it's to combat Disney Plus. No, it's probably to make money.
Yeah.
That's literally all it is. They're not trying to take out Disney Plus.
Okay. Disney Plus has become the new big man in town that will be there forever.
Yeah.
Everyone needs to accept Disney Plus is now taken over as the top streaming service, basically. Yeah. No one's going to take over. No one's going to do anything. No one's going to touch them ever.
No. Netflix will be number two.
Yeah.
And they should be okay
Netflix with that. Should just settle in to be number two and just be happy with
Hulu should be number three.
Yeah.
It's the pecking order, people.
Exactly. Well, as soon as it's just like any other. WWE would be the number one wrestling streaming service. Period.
Forever.
Because more casual fans know just watch WWE than anything else. I don't care. Everyone's battling for number two is what it comes down to. I don't care what anyone, independent wrestling's the best. Yeah, okay, I like it better too. However, I'm realistic, and I know that WWE will always be the number one wrestling company in the
world.
They
have the stars, they have the advertising, they have the money.
Right.
They have the eyeballs. Yeah. I mean, everywhere you look, if you see wrestling, it's WWE.
It's like Hulk Hogan was the biggest name in the world in the 80s and 90s until Steve Austin became the next biggest name. Ric Flair's my all-time favorite wrestler. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it is what it is.
And now he's doing commercials for companies.
He needs money, apparently. Yeah. But I'll just say this. Those
feathered robes don't buy themselves, you know?
WWE is not my favorite flavor of wrestling currently. It hasn't been for a long time. New Japan Pro Wrestling is. But I'm not ridiculous enough to think New Japan's going to overthrow WWE and take over. It's just
Go walk down a toy aisle with wrestling figures.
The only wrestling toys you're going to see in a store is, oh my God, I just remembered I watched the toys that made us.
Oh, did you?
Did you?
I did not.
Oh, okay. That's right. Go to wrestling aisle. Oh, the toys that made us. Okay, because they had a wrestling episode.
Wrestling figures episode.
Yes. Yeah. They did this episode. It launched on the 15th. They had Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, wrestling figures, Power Rangers.
Okay, so this is the toys that made us. So with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, did they go into the whole comics backstory?
I did not watch that
one. Okay.
I watched Power Rangers and wrestling.
Okay. How many times do you think Ruth watched Power Rangers?
I don't know, a lot. The fourth one is My Little Pony, which I have not watched either.
But you will.
Yeah, well, yeah, because it's the toys that made us.
Yeah.
So anyways, if you go to, like you said, if you go to the wrestling aisle, the only thing you're going to see is WWE wrestling figures.
Yeah.
You're not going to see New Japan ones. You're not going to see Impact TNA ones. You're not going to see Ring of Honor. Those, they exist, but you're not going to see them at Walmart, Target.
Right.
Any generic toy store, Walgreens, even Toys R Us, you're not going to see anything besides WWE.
But you're not going to see anything at Toys R Us, period. Because they've been out of business.
No, no, they're in Canada still.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And they're coming back here in the States.
Just on the web, right?
They're going to have brick and mortar stores eventually again, yeah. So anyways, that all being said, the toys that made us, you haven't watched it yet, so I won't go into great detail. They were great. You can definitely see the new format where they did away with the little old reenactments to save more money on the live interviews and stuff of that nature. But
I like the reenactments.
Yeah, I did too. But I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed the two. Well, I really enjoyed the wrestling episode. The Power Ranger ones was kind of ho-hum. I'm not a huge Power Ranger fan.
Did they go into the TV show a lot?
They did. Okay. Basically how the TV show spawned the action figures and then how, like, it's good. You'll see. You're going to watch it. Oh, you'll see. Of course I am. But it's funny because the wrestling figure one, it comes full circle a lot. Like, I didn't realize it. Like, the companies who, like, Remco or, yeah. And, like, I'll tell you this one. Yeah, remember the LJN figures that WWE sure had? Do. The 8-inch tall figures? Mm-hmm. Okay. That was a 2-up.
What do you mean?
Okay. So when you carve a figure, mold one, whatever it's called, okay? Mm-hmm. When you make that prototype figure, it's called a 2-up. You make one that's twice the size of the normal figure you're going to do to show, hey, this is what we want to do. And then when you make the actual figure, you make it smaller. So the LJN figures that came out, those 8-inch ones, those were 2-ups. It was never supposed to be that big of a figure. They were supposed to be 4-inch figures, and their arms were supposed to be more flexible and move around more.
So G.I. Joe's.
No, not G.I. Joe's. They're still supposed to be the same rubber, but they were supposed to move around more. You couldn't get that flexibility with the larger rubber, the wire arms, and this and that inside.
Right.
But so they made them with the permanent poses, and they actually made them harder than they were supposed to be. So these
prototypes. Oh, yeah, because you could do some damage with one of those.
Hell things. Yeah, you can. So these prototypes, so when they gave it to the salesman who went out to Toys R Us and all these stores, the toy distributors loved that they were so big. These are awesome because they're so big. So the Max said, sense. They want these figures to be 8 inches tall. What? So, yeah, so the LJNs were a mistake. They weren't supposed to be that big. That's hilarious to me.
They were the
demo. Yeah, that's hilarious awesome. To me. And here's the other thing. Remco was the first company that WWE had a contract with. Mm-hmm. Then Galoob tried to undercut Remco. Remco offered WWE 10 grand to make a figure line. WWE was going to take it. Then Galoob offered him 25 grand. And then they contacted this guy about it, and he contacted LJN because they had just, like Paramount or whatever, just bought LJN. So then LJN offered them $250,000 to do their figure line. So WWE took it. But WWE went back to him and said, hey, if you want to match them, we'll go with you. And so they didn't. But here's what's funny. Eventually, Galoob made the WCW figures.
Oh, gotcha.
Remco then went to the AWA and released a line of figures from the AWA. The owners of Galoob got forced out. They created a company called the original San Francisco Toy Makers, who would go on to make WCW figures after Galoob. And then ECW figures after Mattel got the WCW car. It's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's funny how all these, like, the connection between everything. I think you'll find it interesting just for the toy history, regardless if it's wrestling figures or not.
Absolutely.
But those are supposed to be.
I'm already interested just listening.
Those are 2-ups. They weren't supposed to be that way.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I'm not even supposed to be here today.
Okay, so now here's the thing. We've talked about this on here before, so I'm going to say it again. Netflix has already renewed The Witcher for season 2.
Yeah.
We haven't even got season 1.
I know.
Now, people are like, oh, they must have so much faith in it. No. They have the actors. They have the actresses.
Yeah.
They have the sets. They have the clothes. They have everything all set up and in one place. Right. They say, why not just do it?
Yeah.
Let's shoot it. We're already shooting. Why not just shoot it? Put out a second season. Then if it tanks, you know, if the first season tanks, we'll just cancel it.
Right.
And we've got 2 seasons in the can.
Yeah.
It's not cost effective to, like, let this run its course over the next couple of months and then go, do we want to bring it back or not?
It's not like network shows used to be.
Right.
It's changed a lot.
Right. And when the episodes drop on December 13th, I believe it is, they're all dropping at the same time. So people are going to be saying right away whether this is good or not.
Yeah.
Now, this is not a spoiler, but it does have to do with The Mandalorian. Okay. Pedro Pascal was in an interview, and he told us the Mandalorian's name. It's not Boba Fett.
Yeah.
It's Din Djarin.
Yeah, I saw that somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's his name. Don't wear it out. This was kind of interesting. You know, the White House has fallen, and then Angel has fallen.
Yeah.
three more Has Fallen films are coming, and a spinoff TV series. That's all I have to say about that.
Okay.
Beverly Hills Cop 4 is definitely being made.
Oh, nice.
It's coming to Netflix. Netflix bought it.
Damn.
Yeah.
Hopefully they get the rights to the other three so you can watch them all and catch up.
I hope so.
I'm excited to see how that goes.
Yeah.
Because I think Beverly Hills Cop 3 went the PG-13 route.
Yes.
But I think this is supposed to go back to the rated R route.
I hope so. But it's Netflix. They don't do an awful lot of rated R stuff on their own. Now, this is similar to The Witcher, except for it's a different case. Brooklyn Nine-Nine has been renewed for an 8th season.
Yep.
The 7th season hasn't come out yet. It's coming out in the spring or the January.
Yeah. Time.
So that's a different kind of beast, I think, because this is something that originally was on Fox, got canceled at Fox, NBC bought it, ran it for season 6. Everyone said, wow, we really like it. So they said, okay, we're going to bring it back for season 7, shot it, and then said, yeah, let's do an 8th season. So I don't think that falls under the same rules, but maybe.
Oh. Murphy confirmed the production of Beverly Hills Cop 4 will commence once the filming of Coming to America.
Yes.
When the number 2 has wrapped.
Yes. And then the last thing that I have for news is something that I had shared with you. It's not a trailer, but this was the first artist's concept of The Rock as Black Adam.
Yes, I remember you shared that. And my comment to you was, this is going to be odd to say, but they've under-exaggerated his arms in this.
Exactly. The poster really doesn't do his arms justice.
Yeah, because The Rock's arms in real life are absurd. Just absurd.
So for those who haven't seen, I want to read this thing here that The Rock wrote about it, because I think it's actually it reminds me of when Ryan Reynolds got Deadpool, you know, and he had fought so hard because he believed in the character. He felt a connection to him, etc. So The Rock says, like most kids growing up, I dreamed about being a superhero, having cool superpowers, fighting for what's right and always protecting the people. It all changed for me when I was 10 years old and I was first introduced to the greatest superhero of all time, Superman. As a kid, Superman was the hero I always wanted to be. But a few years into my fantasy, I realized that Superman was the hero I could never be. I was too rebellious, too rambunctious, too resistant to convention and authority. Despite my troubles, I was still a good kid with a good heart. I just liked to do things my own way. Now, years later as a man, with the same DNA I had as a kid, my superhero dreams have come true. I'm honored to join the iconic DC universe, and it's a true pleasure to become Black Adam. Black Adam is blessed by magic with the powers equal to Superman, but the difference is he doesn't toe the mark or walk the line. He's a rebellious, one-of-a-kind superhero who will always do what's right for the people, but he does it his way. Truth and justice, the Black Adam way. So, yeah. Basically, Black Adam started as a villain. He was supposed to be a villain to Shazam, and he was a bad guy. And kind of like Venom, over time, he grew into a antihero.
Yep.
So, he does good, but in his own dark, twisted ways. I cannot wait to see this. I cannot wait to see their take on it. Especially right now when they just announced over the last day or two that now Ben Affleck and Gal Gadot both also joined the movement to release the Snyder Cut of Justice League. Can people just fuck the fuck off with this? There's no Snyder Cut.
Yeah.
There's no fucking Snyder Cut. Stop saying that they should release it. Stop saying that it should come out of the vault. Just let it go. Justice League was, it was okay. It's not doing any favors for the DC universe. Mm. Nobody's clamoring to be directing Flash, last I checked.
Yeah, no.
So releasing the Snyder Cut is not going to make the movie any better. If anything, it would make it worse, because we all saw what he did to Batman versus Superman.
I have nothing positive to say about Batman versus Superman other than Wonder Woman was in it, and I like Wonder Woman. However,
that was an interesting emphasis on that syllable.
Wonder Woman. I don't know.
Usually it's Wonder Woman.
But I did like Justice League.
Yeah.
I liked Justice League.
I liked it. I didn't dislike it. I liked it maybe like a B.
I'm B just, minus. I liked it way better than Death. Batman versus Superman, I mean.
You were saying I liked it way better than Death.
No, I meant... I'd say the death of Superman, but that's not what it is. Yeah.
No. No, that was Justice League.
Yep.
I think that's it for news, though.
There we go. Got that out of my system.
Okay.
It's been in there a while now.
So if everybody, if you don't want spoilers for this most recent episode of Mr. Robot, which was 407, and you don't want spoilers for The Mandalorian, the first two episodes, take off now. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks for coming by.
Yep.
But if you want to journey with us into the spoiler-filled territory of Mr. Robot and The Mandalorian, it's coming up in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Anyway.
Mr. Robot.
Mr. Fucking
I want to talk about that first.
Robot.
Because of me and the category of things, I'm more excited about The Mandalorians now. I'm more excited than Mr. Robot.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. But you know what?
I thought, I'm going to say this. Mr. Robot was brilliant. The episode was brilliant. There was no commercials, the five acts, the way they presented the story.
It was a play.
It was a play, yes. I loved the concept, the style. I loved some of the emotion. Fucking hated the stereotypical sexually abused storyline they did at the end.
Yep.
Fucking hated it so much. Like, literally, I wish I could have paused the show so I could get up and walk away.
Yep.
But I was watching live TV and I couldn't because I don't have that capability.
And I'm with you. I was thinking the same way, but it is not to make light of it. It is not to say
It's
not to deny that it happened.
No.
It's to say that this is a trope that is overused.
Yes.
And as she was leading him down that road,
yeah,
it made me madder and madder.
It
because
did.
I was like, why are you doing this? This show had so much going for it as it was. Yeah. He was damaged. It didn't need to be this way.
Yeah.
It didn't need to turn out that his dad, who was his best friend, was sexually abusing him.
Yeah, I am not belittling, you know, molesting a child, but anything of that
nature. Not at all. Not at all.
But this is the first time I'm going to say it. This is lazy writing.
Yeah.
It was the shits. It ruined the fucking episode for me.
And I read an article today. They were talking about how it was so amazing that they twisted this into that. And I'm like, no,
it really wasn't. What's been great about this show is the reality of it, the realism of the things that they do.
The realism of the hacking, the realism of the addiction.
Yes.
The drugs, the personality disorders.
Yes. I mean, all this stuff has been wonderful. And to fucking just sum it up with my daddy touched me inappropriately. It's just...
Now, the only way that this could be redeemed, in my opinion, is if this was all fake. To get Vera to drop his guard so that Krista could come in and stab him like she did. Because that put him off his game, and then he was trying to bond with Elliot, and that's why she was able to sneak in and stab him and kill him. So if it turns out that she was like, I just said what I needed to throw him off.
Right.
Your dad never molested you, blah, 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 blah. That's what I kept thinking in the back of my head, like, please let it be. And I know Sam Esmail wrote and directed this episode, so I'm hoping that it's that kind of a twist.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm glad you said that because I was thinking the same thing. Like, again, I have no problem with that kind of thing, like saying that, you know, oh, this character was molested. They have issues.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I feel like we've gotten this many seasons of Elliot developing his personality, learning his quirks, learning about him and his past. This just – it fucks the pooch. You know, there's no need of it whatsoever. He already had a messed up childhood.
Right.
He's already an addict. He's already a social outcast.
Right. So I want to go back, though, because I do.
Yeah.
As much as I hated the ending of this episode, or that moment of the episode, Act 4, the opening of the episode was brilliant. It takes place literally right from when Elliot's in the trunk of the car. He's riding through the city in the trunk of the car. His point of view, the way they rolled the credits and everything, it felt like a Tarantino-type film. Mm-hmm. I loved it. I'm just going to actually read the Wikipedia notes that someone did because they're way better than mine.
Sure.
Where it says, you know, Act 1, Vera ties Elliot to a chair, offers him a position by his side, taking him to New York. Elliot asks where Krista is, and Vera agrees to bring him to her.
And then they again, this is a play. So each time it was an act, like, they transitioned through the apartment. It just took place in those two rooms other than the trunk in the beginning.
Right, but there's literally two sets.
Yep.
There's the living room where Krista was being held, and there's the dining room kitchen area where Elliot was with Vera and Vera's two thugs.
Yep. Peanuts and...
Right.
I can't remember his name.
who cares, really?
I'm sure it'll be in your notes there.
Act 2, Vera brings Elliot to Krista, refusing to let her go unless he meets Mr. Robot, to which he comes forward. Which, that was a cool scene.
Dude, that was so cool.
That was brilliantly done.
We gonna talk? Let's fucking talk.
Yeah.
Christian Slater is there playing Rami Malek's character.
Yeah. He taunts Vera, saying he needs to be convinced. Mr. Robot shows interest in helping Vera, but Vera protests when he asks him to let Krista go.
Basically, Mr. Robot asked him what his plan was, and he says, I want to run New York. And he's like, you're an idiot. Why do you want to run New York? Give me specifics.
Yeah.
And he talks about how he wants his face on every billboard, and he wants to own every corner.
Yeah.
And he's like, so what? You want real estate? You want to be a real estate guy? Because, and then he just goes off on him. He's like, you know, all the big drug companies, they already do what you're talking about on the street corners. They do it better than you, and they can have you killed for a tenth of what it costs them to make one pill.
Yeah.
He's talking about the cops. Yeah, they're already corrupt. And it's not going to do you any good to put them in your back pocket. And he just goes through each one of Vera's things and says, you're an idiot for wanting these things because they're not going to work.
Vera basically says that this whole time he's been gone, he's been down with the Dominican Republic or some shit.
The DR.
And he ruled that island. He took it over. He became the boss, but it wasn't enough. So he met with a witch doctor, and the witch doctor or whatever he used said.
Shaman.
Oh, shaman, yeah. Oh, well, you know, this isn't the island you should take over. It's New York, you know, no, Manhattan the island. Shaman
gave him an elixir
that
was a mixture of milk and blood and some other stuff. And he said that he just kept shitting and puking and shitting and puking till he had nothing left in him. And then he kept shitting and puking. And then the shaman said, you need to go home. And he said, I am home. And then he realized that the home that he needed to go to was New York.
Yeah, the New York was the island he needed to take over, you know, Manhattan Island.
Yeah.
So, and then when Mr. Robot comes forward, and then one of Vera's guards, Peanuts, whatever, you know, like, pulls a gun on him, and he's like, oh, old tough Mr. Talk guy now. And Mr. Robot turns and looks at him and goes, now, where's your courage? Where's your courage? Right fucking here. And he just stares him down. Yep. Yeah.
Oh, don't forget, right before this, we got something that was very graphic for USA, which was, he was trying to coax out Mr. Robot, and Vera actually slid his hand up under Krista's skirt, right up her thigh, and he was like, don't worry, I'm just taking her temperature.
Yeah.
And then he pointed to one of his thugs, and he's like, but, you know, he just got out of a committed relationship, and he needs a rebound moment, so I can't promise anything.
Like, yeah.
Damn.
And that's when Mr. Robot comes forward, protecting Krista.
My note was just, and here's Mr. Robot.
And then
I'm not someone you push around with a gun. I am the gun, was another thing that Mr. Robot said to him.
That was really badass. Yeah. After Mr. Robot then basically says, I'll help you, but we need to let Krista go. Then Vera's like, no, that's not happening. And then Elliot comes back.
He said, you already told me that she's the only thing that I have on you.
Yeah.
So give me something else.
And that's when Elliot comes forward and he says that he'll give him the money from the Cypress hack. I'll show you, just take me to my laptop or bring my laptop.
Now, my first thought was, oh, Elliot's setting him up. You know, he's going to put all the evidence to point to Vera as the one that did it and get him killed or worse from the Dark Army.
Right. So then they take him back out to the living room now. He takes his laptop out, shows him, you know, the numbers, this and that. And while Vera and his two guys go, look at all those zeros. I can't count them all. Elliot pulls his gun and he actually pulls the trigger. But he's going to kill not Vera, but the henchman in the red there.
Yeah.
And, of course, it clicks because they already found the gun. They took the bullets out. No shit.
Yep.
Yeah. And then they're going to – and then Mr. Robot comes back now. Oh, it was me. It wasn't Elliot. It was me. You know, I did this and that and everything. And it's funny how, like, we're seeing Christian Slater now. But you have to know that Vera and his guys are still seeing the same person. But yet they even realize it's a new person now based on attitude – voice, all that shit.
Yep.
So that's kind of neat. And they're going to go kill Krista, but basically Elliot says, no, I need her.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when he's like, oh, she's your shaman.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been asking the wrong thing. I've been asking you the questions. I should be asking her, or she should be asking you the questions.
Yeah. So now we get to act four. Krista, Varys forces Krista and Elliot to sit across from each other like they're having a therapy session. Kicks the two henchmen out of the room.
Peanuts and Javi.
There you go. And now this is the whole thing where Vera just starts to lead everything out of him. And I'm not going to go through the whole nine yards on this.
I mean, it was tense up until
that point. Oh, it was tense. Where Krista's trying to lead, you know, talk to him. Do you remember this? This is what happened. Vera comes a couple of times, tries to interrupt me like, this is horse shit. And she's like, let me get there. And eventually they get to, and you have Mr. Robot begging Krista to stop. But
it was interesting because every now and then she'd look at him.
Yes.
So you knew that it was the two personalities coming out. So, you know, it's Elliot at one point saying, you know, keep talking, and then switching over to the Mr. Robot personality and saying, Krista, I'm begging you, don't do this.
And then finally he just looks at Elliot and says, like, I can't protect you anymore.
And walks off. And we never see him again for the rest of the
episode. I kept expecting this unknown personality to emerge, especially when it's like, well, do you wonder why you can't remember what happened when your dad came in the room, or why you acted the way you did? And he only remembers based on what his sister told him, but never questioned why. But that's because so essentially they're accusing that Mr. Robot, who's Elliot's best friend and has been his protector, is the one that molested him and is also the one that's been preventing him from remembering what he did to him, allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
But when, again, like we talked about earlier, when they did the big reveal, I was pissed. I felt like I'd been cheated.
Kudos to Rami Malek for really, really doing the part well. I mean, he really, like, he started pulling his knees up and he was like sitting there and hunched over. In the
fetal position.
Yep. And sobbing and blubbering. And I didn't like the way
he did it. I just hated it. And then the second he tells, now Vera's his best friend and I'm here with you, man. And I can't believe that happened.
Vera puts his hand on him. And he's like, don't fucking touch me.
Yeah. And I just.
But all the emoting that they did, all the walking, all the blocking, it was like a stage play. Everything was so.
If this was a stage play.
It was so awesome the way that they did that.
The acting was amazing. The drama was amazing. The intensity. I'm kind of wondering if this was a one shot or if they did multiple cuts.
Well, I think it's like that episode, you know, don't worry, dude, we don't have to talk.
Yeah.
And then silence through the whole thing.
Yeah.
I think Esmil, this is his last season and he's getting creative.
They've done some pretty awesome things this season with that. I like it when shows mix it up with their look and feel and cinematography and styles and everything. Yeah. I enjoy it, but.
So then at the end in Act 5, you know, we've got Vera's trying to bond with Elliot and he's talking to him and basically bonding over the same trauma.
Yeah. He was sexually abused by his mother's friends who when she was high on drugs or drunk would pass him around to her friends.
And yet he at least a half dozen times in this episode was taking a hit off the crack pipe.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Over and over again. So he's sitting there bonding with Elliot or trying to at least, and Elliot's just looking at him. Like you can't tell if he's really interested or not.
Right.
And then you just hear the slurp, which I can't do it justice.
No, but Elliot and Vera are sitting face to face and the camera's got a tight shot on them and they're looking at each other. And Elliot's basically like, I don't want to be alone. And Vera's like, oh, you won't be alone. And then you hear like a noise.
Yep.
And you see Vera react. And I'm like, And to me, I'm like, I know that's a stabbing.
It looked like Elliot stabbed him in the gut.
Well, that's what I think they wanted you to believe was it. And as they pan out, and he's Vera stabbed in the back, so I'm like, oh shit, did Mr. Robot just stab him? But Elliot did one of those, you know, like reached around and stabbed him. And then as it pans back more, because I thought they were going to pan back and see Elliot had stabbed him in the gut,
right,
type of thing.
Yep.
But instead, blood starts coming out of Vera's mouth, and it shows Krista standing behind him when Krista stabbed him in the back.
Yep.
And the last thing you see is Vera's dead, drops on the floor, assumed to be dead.
He tries to crawl over towards the Christmas tree. And then it was neat, just like in a play, you know, the fireplace and some of the lights went out. And then the lights outside of the place, outside of the building went out. And then everything went out. And it was just pitch black.
Yeah.
And then roll credits.
So it'd be interesting, like you said, I didn't consider, oh, she lied and veered Elliot down this path.
I hope that's it. I hope it was a complete fake out because she was like, that was the only way I could get him to drop his guard. And I knew that he left the knife up on the mantle. So,
yeah. And Vera's got a gun, but his henchmen are outside. I mean, you don't know. We don't know what's going to happen with all this. I know I saw like the scenes from next week and you didn't see Elliot at all. We saw, at least I don't remember seeing him, but I remember seeing mostly his Dom and his sister.
Yeah,
and
getting tortured by the taxidermist lady.
Yeah.
Darlene's like, I will not give up my brother. And the taxidermist lady's just like, oh, chaos can be fun. And
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you felt the same way. Cause I mean, with that reveal of the sexual abuse.
And again, I have no problem with that kind of thing being, you know, a tool for building a character or a personality or whatever. It just felt very wrong here. Like you said, it felt cheap. It felt like, come on. up until this point, we've built up this character. We've learned all this stuff. Now, here's a fun fact that I learned today as I was reading that article that praised the reveal. Originally, Sam Esmail wrote this as a movie and was actually – he had a screenplay and he was going to direct this as a movie. And USA looked at it and went, we want to make this into a TV series. So he had to expand it. Apparently, in his original view of this, Elliot was alone and would stay alone forever. Like he, because they had the space and the breadth of the TV series, he's been able to make new connections with people and have friends, as it were.
Right.
And Sam Esmail has gone on the record as saying, you know, he was never able to imagine that at first because he just figured that Elliot would be alone forever. So I thought that was interesting.
I didn't realize it was supposed to be a movie. You may have told me at one point, but I just don't recall that.
I think I just learned it today.
Okay.
So, yeah.
The Mandalorian.
The Mandalorian, which I'm starting to think should be subtitled the Saga of Baby Yoda.
Well, I don't know, because it doesn't seem like in the future episodes that he's there still, or he's saving other people or something. So here's the thing. My one complaint, the episodes are not long enough.
That was the only thing that I would accept. That was it.
That, and in the first episode, I really like, okay, the original score for this, very reminiscent of the Rocky. Okay, good, you heard it too. I wasn't sure.
Yep.
But by the second episode,
it was more Star Wars.
It felt more, so either it's growing on me, or they've tuned it up a little bit, or... You know, someone who doesn't have that knee-jerk, hey, this is like the Rocky music reaction, is just going to be like, oh, this is great. But as many times as I've seen Rocky or listened to the music, you know. So I've watched each episode 3 times.
Oh, and by the way, I read this afternoon that Disney has officially decided that Baby Yoda is no longer a spoiler. They've made it very public. Well, they're not calling him Baby Yoda, but that's what everyone's calling him.
Yeah.
So basically, like, it's no longer spoiler territory. You know how they were like, we don't want anybody to talk about Endgame. Yeah. And yeah, it's the cat's out of the bag.
Well, they've had 2 episodes with this Jedi Yoda baby in it, which I don't like the idea of calling it a Yoda baby because it's not Yoda. It's the same race as Yoda.
Oh, we're going to get into that shortly, my friend.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You give us some recap here. You talk to us about the Mandalorian. That was Boba Fett in the back of that one scene.
Oh, I didn't notice.
A lot of people didn't. There's a scene.
See, I've stayed away from the breakdown.
Oh, not me.
Things that people have written.
Not me. I want to read them all. So there's a scene.
Because I didn't want anything to get spoiled. Yep. I was going to watch the entire series first after it was done in 8 weeks.
So do you not want me to talk about it?
No.
Okay. Because
I don't think you're going to tell me future stuff.
No.
About
this is all just about what's happening right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, so that's fine. I can deal with that.
In the first scene when we meet the armorer, okay? The one who's going to forge the piece for.
Okay, yeah.
It's a dark scene.
Yeah.
And he steps out of the shadows and he walks towards the screen. There's a figure that's in behind him in the shadows that turns and walks away. Well, as you know, like I do, if you crank up the brightness on your TV, all that black stuff kind of goes away. And the character in the background sure looks a lot like Boba Fett.
In costume, you mean?
Yeah. See, now you're going to look it up.
Yeah.
So apparently people are wondering about this. So there were some novels that came out that are supposed to bridge the gap between the Rise of the First Order and Empire Strikes Back. Okay. In one of those novels, it takes place on Tatooine, and there's a new sheriff in town. The new sheriff in town.
Oh, that does. I mean, see orange on the arm.
Yeah. The new sheriff in town is wearing Mandalorian armor that looks a lot like Boba Fett's that he claims he got from some Jawas who were out raiding by the Sarlacc. Because in this book, which is considered canon, when Jabba's party barge exploded, it blew a hole in the side of the Sarlacc.
Yeah.
So these Jawas found some Mandalorian armor, and this new sheriff in town on Tatooine is wearing that Mandalorian armor. Interesting. Then you see this. So people aren't sure if, but the thing is, one thing that I really like about this show, and I know we're jumping around here, is that they're treating the Mandalorians the way that the lore has, which is not that it's a religion, you know, it's a sect. It's we are Mandalorians, like we are Christians or
we are monks.
Yes.
We are Buddhists.
We are Jedi.
We're Jedi. It's a better example.
Yep. So originally, thousands of years ago, if, you know, the Old Republic is considered canon, they were actually like the Sith were a race of beings.
Yeah.
They were actually a race, and the dark side of the Force users kind of adopted the name Sith, but they were actually a species of alien. Mandalorians were kind of similar. Anyway, so
why do you think people are so hung up on Boba Fett?
Because,
I mean, in the initial three movies, mm-hmm. his role is
negligible.
Yeah.
It's because he's cool looking. He has a jetpack. He has a little rope dart thing on his wrist. Yeah. And he's mysterious. Everyone likes the mysterious bad boy, mm-hmm. is what it comes down to. He's always wearing a helmet. You don't know what he looks like under there. He's a badass who, like,
but now we're determining that he's a Mandalorian, mm-hmm. and he's part of this race where they all wear their helmets and don't take them off.
Yep.
So he loses his mystique, and especially when they establish that he's a clone of Jango Fett.
Yes. Which I still, anyway.
Who's dead.
Yeah.
With no head.
Yeah.
And he didn't wear his helmet.
He did with no head.
But he didn't wear his helmet. Nope. You know, when we met him in Attack of the Clones.
Nope. I don't think he was a Mandalorian. I think he was the dude.
Oh, wear the same Mandalorian type armor? I guess you can wear the armor and not be one.
Yeah. Armor is armor, man. You can wear a Jedi robe. Doesn't mean you can use the Force.
Right. No, you're right.
So they established in the first episode.
So this takes place 5 years after the fall of the Galactic Empire. So 5 years after Return of the Jedi.
Yep.
But prior to The Force Awakens.
25 years prior
to. Yeah. So it takes place in the middle.
So timelines are going to be important for what I'm going to talk about in a little bit here.
Right.
So most things in Star Wars canon are considered around the time of the Battle of Yavin.
Yeah.
So you'll see things that are ABY or BBY, before the Battle of Yavin or after the Battle of Yavin. So continue.
So we meet the Mandalorian, bounty mm-hmm. hunter, and his first job that we see him doing is collecting a fella after battling a couple of guys.
Little guy.
Yeah, after fighting a couple, you get one guy cut in half.
Which was awesome.
In the doorway.
Dragged him halfway through the doorway and waited for it to close to slice him in half.
Well, the guy shot at him, so he shot the mechanism that closes the door on him. Yeah. Badass.
Yeah.
A lot of killing in this first episode. Holy crap.
Definitely has a Western vibe to it.
Oh, this scene, these episodes especially, it's a space Western.
And it's not just because it's in the desert. I mean, this legitimately has like a Firefly feel to it.
Yeah, and he's got a blaster that he pulls like a six-shooter, like a quick draw, you know, and he's got the dart.
Flamethrower and the dart.
Yeah. It's awesome. It's awesome.
Okay.
So he brings back his bounty to Carl Weathers. And he wants his money.
Come on,
Carl Weathers. Yeah. And he wants to pay him in like galactic credits, but it's like, this is galactic credits.
Yeah, but they still spend.
Oh, I can give you these rubber money, but I can only give you half. I mean, like, it's just.
And he was like, okay.
Better than galactic credits.
Yep.
And then he ends up taking. So who do you think the. Because he's like, oh, I've got.
He says that he has one.
The bounty pucks.
Yes.
And one of them is a smuggler.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you think that is? Is that supposed to be someone? Because they made it a point to say a smuggler.
I don't think so.
You know, I thought it was Han.
By that point, though, like, is Han still even smuggling? I mean, it's 5 years after. Maybe.
He could be.
Maybe.
Maybe he's not. Maybe he's still listed. I mean, because you think about it, in Force Awakens.
This is true.
You have the stormtrooper who he's Captain Solo. He's, you know, the Rebel Army commander, et cetera, et cetera. And then you have Rey, who's like, oh, the greatest smuggler of all time.
Mm-hmm.
So in some realms, he could still be the wanted smuggler. So I was just wondering if
it's possible.
The smuggler was Han Solo, but they just don't say anything.
Right.
You know. But basically, he's like, I got this under the table job from a guy who's got Imperial connections.
And he's like, where's the puck? No puck.
There's no puck. And so he goes to this place, and we see stormtroopers.
Yeah. Very dirty stormtroopers.
Well, because the Empire fucking's fallen. So these are like guys that don't have any other jobs, apparently.
Yep. And Werner Herzog is the client.
Which is badass.
It's very badass.
Yeah. And essentially he's like, look, this is what I got. I got this. Okay, so.
Now here's where it gets even more interesting.
So they have these trackers.
Yep.
Okay.
That'll show you the general direction of your quarry.
But how does it know who to beep for? Like, yeah, he had the tracker at the beginning that honed in on the guy.
It's the same way that it's a fob. They basically said that there's a fob. I assume it's a tracking fob. Like they put a tracker on this thing.
But how did not anyone know about that? Like, this is just weird. That's just weird.
Well, think about the way that Boba Fett found the Millennium Falcon was because they hit a tracker on it.
Fair enough.
And granted, that's a ship, but they do obviously seem to have that technology.
Yeah.
So he's got that, and he asks him for the puck, and he says, there's no puck.
Yeah.
Which seems very odd for an official guild thing.
Right.
And he says, what about the chain code? And he says, I can only give you the last four digits. And he goes, his age?
Yeah.
What good's that going to do me? So
he's 50.
We've got a bounty with no tracking puck.
Right.
Or no puck showing the identity.
No puck, yeah.
To show that it's an official guild thing. We've got the tracking fob, but we only have the last four digits of the chain.
Yeah.
So,
which is his age, and the age is 50.
Yeah. So basically, what I think here is that they're not the original clients.
Oh.
They got wind of this, that somebody had set up a bounty on this target.
Yes.
And they were like, we want you to swoop in. So they hired somebody to go in because, as we'll learn later, somebody else has the bounty and was told to kill.
Well, more than just IG-11.
Yeah.
Has the bounty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was told that it was explicitly for kill. And when the Mandalorian, when Din gets it, he's told that it's specifically to bring him in alive.
Yes. They want him alive.
Yes.
Yeah. So he heads out. But first, he's going to pay him in.
Oh, it's some kind of special metal. I can't remember the name of it. But either basically, he's like, I thought that a Mandalorian should have this since it's your stuff.
Yeah. And so he goes to this.
The armorer.
Who is going to use that? It's Beskar steel.
Beskar steel, yes. And he basically asks him, what piece do you want made?
Yeah.
And I think a pauldron would be nice.
Right. So that's what's a shoulder piece. Because then when I went back and watched the second time, I'm like, oh, okay, I guess his shoulder piece isn't one. So this is because in the first he goes, oh, is that real Beskar steel?
Mm-hmm.
And they scrape the knives across his chest.
And he asks him, what did he say? Like, has your crest been revealed yet? And he's like, no, it hasn't. He's like, all right, well, I could still do this.
Oh yeah. So he makes the armorer makes the comment of like we can use the excess to give to a lot of the
rookies, basically.
Well, no, they didn't say rookies; they said families. And he goes, "I used to be part of a family." And then you show some flashbacks of probably the Mandalorian as a child and stuff like that. And he's like, and she's like, "Oh, I know you were."
Yeah.
And then she makes this shoulder piece.
Yeah.
And then he heads out. And I love how they have the swipes.
The wipes are awesome.
Well, okay, so after he gets the first bounty, and then they go across the frozen planet, and then the big creature comes out. And
don't forget, we get to see the first ever toilet in a Star Wars.
Yes. Film. Yeah. No, who cares?
No.
And we see Carbonite. Right. I know we're skipping around a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if we're supposed to break these down to this minutia or just talk about what we thought was cool or
So the ice creature comes up and eats what's his name there. Yeah. And then starts coming after the ship that is just sitting there, not doing anything, not vibrating, not bothering anybody.
Right.
They wanted to show an action sequence. I get it. But I think that it didn't need to happen.
Yeah.
So anyway.
So he travels to Avarla 7 is the planet. And sets out to find his target, I guess, and comes across some blurgs.
Yes.
And one attacks him. And then what's the guy's name?
His name is Quill.
Quill.
Yeah. K-U-I-I-L.
Saves him.
Voiced by Nick Nolte.
Oh, that's Nick Nolte? get the shit out. Okay.
Because they kept putting his name up in the credits. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have spoken.
Yes.
Okay. Brilliant, man. Brilliant. Yes. Yeah. And basically he saves him and then says, I will help you. And I love this. Well, how many people have you helped? Oh, lots. Many people have come for this target and I've helped. How many have helped? All of them. And they've all failed. They've all died. Well, maybe I don't want your help. Yeah. I like
that. Sounds like you have some bad help, buddy.
Yeah. and he's like, why are you helping me? Because you're a Mandalorian. And again, you're a Mandalorian. You can rid this. I want peace for my planet. Mm-hmm. And the people here, they're not bringing peace to my planet.
Right.
You can kill them all easily because you're a Mandalorian and bring peace back to my planet.
Yep.
That's why he's going to help them.
And he doesn't end every sentence with it, but after he's like made a declaration or whatever, and he's like done with the conversation, he'll just say, I have spoken.
I have spoken. Yeah.
And then turn around and walk away.
So
I love it.
I do too.
I wish I could end meetings like that.
Me too.
I have spoken. And they just get up and walk out.
I'm going to try it. See what happens.
Good luck.
So they head over there to where as we find out, the target is. I'll say target still.
We get a little montage of him learning to ride a blur.
Yeah, like and befriending it. And then like the Queel, whatever.
Queel
basically saying like, because he's like, oh, is there anything faster? Can I just rent like a bike or something? And he's like, no, you're a Mandalorian. You need to.
Your people used to ride like, and he said like some great beast. You know, your people used to do that years ago. It should be in your blood.
Yes.
This is just a little blurg.
So he gets the blurg to finally ride the blurg and gets out there. And then while he's scoping out the territory, the IG-11 robot just walks right up on shit. And he's like, oh, great.
And announces, I'm here from the guild. I'm here to claim a bounty. Everybody back the fuck off. I'm taking it.
Then starts shooting people. And then
which was awesome.
Oh,
the way that his body spun around and like he just fire in every direction. By the way, Taika Waititi did the voice.
The voice, yep. Mandalorian comes down, gets shot, and his armor goes, hey, I'm trying to work together.
Yeah.
Oh, you're part of the guild? Yeah. So they work together.
Mm-hmm.
And
Until
it looks bad, goes, I will self-destruct. Don't self-destruct.
I like that his chest opens up and there's a thermal detonator. And it's like, beep, beep, beep. And he tells him not to. And he's like, oh, okay.
And he puts it away like multiple times. And essentially they work together to win the battle and kill tons of people. And then cut the door open and then kill a couple more people inside. And then they find the target. Huh?
An egg, essentially.
And, well, yeah, it's like a floating bassinet, whatever. And they open the lid up and it's a baby
Yoda.
Infant of a Yoda species is what it is.
Yep.
And IG-11's like, oh, he's like, wait, this target's supposed to be 50 years old. And IG-11's like, oh, different species, age, different pace.
Yep.
Basically Mandalorian's questioning who this is, where they came from, whatever. And I just, too bad we'll never find out because the goal is to kill it. So obviously the IG-11's bounty mission is completely different than the Mandalorian's. And so it's funny because at first the Mandalorian's like, oh no, we got to take him back. Nope, we have to kill him. And then he kills IG-11.
Blows a hole right through his head.
So that was kind of sad because we don't get to see IG-11 anymore.
Unless there's another one. I mean, they are droids.
Correct.
So,
which the Mandalorian is not a fan of the droid.
No.
At all.
No. He gets a speeder back in the beginning.
And with an R2 unit. And he's like, nope, no I don't droids. Want a droid.
Yep.
So he pays for a shittier speeder with a human pilot.
Yeah.
I love the end of the episodes when you see the still shot. Oh, well, they're touching fingers. Yes. But the still shots during the closing. I watch all the closing credits.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I love all those still shots. So that's that chapter one. Yep. So what is the... Which has no title. Chapter two is a title of the child. So what is your...
Nope. We're going to do chapter two first, and then I'm going to discuss it.
Oh, okay. So chapter two picks right up where the chapter one ended, and he's escorting the infant back to the ship, and there's some other more bounty hunters or mercenaries jump out.
All Trandoshans.
Yep.
The lizard people like Bossk.
Yep.
Yep. Bunch of Trandoshans jump him, and he kicks some fucking ass.
He most certainly does.
And mostly hand to hand, and then he pulls off his rifle that he also uses as a shock staff.
Yep.
Very, very cool tools that he has.
Oh, yeah. But he does some fighting and killing.
Yep.
But he gets hurt along the way. And while he's trying to, like, sew himself up or heal himself, you see Baby Yoda keep reaching out, like, And I'm like, does Baby Yoda have the Force? Is he trying to heal?
Yeah, because he keeps reaching for his arm, and then the Mandalorian picks him up, put him in the bassinet, and then he comes waddling over again.
I love the simplicity of that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, just the Mandalorian is not he's a badass. He's the best at his job, but he's very human at the same time. Mm-hmm. He can't kill a kid,
right?
He's got to protect this kid.
And the second time he puts him in the bassinet, he actually like closes the top.
Yeah.
Half of the fun in this episode was watching the bassinet follow him. Cause you never, like, I know he punched something into his wrist at one point and made it like zoom to the side, but half the time you didn't know if like he was controlling it or if the little guy was controlling it.
Right. Yeah. Like later on when he's on the side of the sandcrawler.
Yeah.
So he shows up
just zooming along after.
So he shows up and the friggin' Jawas who are basically, okay. Are Jawas minions or minions Jawas?
Jawas came first.
I know, but not like we're seeing them here.
Right.
They were, I mean, they maybe it's because we've never been exposed to them at this length. We've always seen them kind of, but they, I mean, like,
I'm, think I'm, about where we saw Jawas.
I'm watching Minions.
It was basically A New Hope.
Yeah.
Was the extent of it. And then we saw, like, the one little Jawa in the pod race part.
Yeah. But. So. Oh, okay. I got to go back to the first episode real quick. When the Mandalorian's walking through the village to go to see the armorer, and then you see, or whatever, he's walking through the village, and you see, like, the little creature being turned on the spigot, being cooked. And
the
then
delicious crumb.
Yeah. And then the cage, there's another one, but it's a full-on fucking Muppet puppet.
Yeah. And he's just like, oh.
Yeah. It's like, I just thought it was cool they had that type of practical effect of that.
Yep. And I've got to say, I know this is the popular opinion. I'm still going to echo it anyway. That Baby Yoda is the cutest fucking thing I've seen in forever.
Yeah, it really is.
He's fucking adorable with that oversized robe. And
then when he's out running around playing with.
Trying to eat the frog.
Yes. And successfully eating the frog.
Trying to like grab it. Dude, his stumpy little arms, his stumpy little legs, that giant oversized robe, the giant ears, those big black. Dude.
Yeah. Yeah. Baby Yoda's
fucking
the
cutest. Baby Yoda is the best.
So the Jawas have stripped down his ship.
Yep.
So he starts blowing them up.
Disintegrating.
Yeah, disintegrating them.
Disintegrating. Yeah. Because remember, we had that whole thing in Empire where he was like, no disintegrations. And he's like, whatever. So, and when he hits them with his disintegrator rifle, which takes a different shot each time. You know, he has to like load in
reload, a new shell. Yeah, it's a single shot.
Their body disappears. Their clothes stay.
Yeah.
Just their entire organism turns into like gold dust.
Yeah. And then he chases down the sandcrawler. It's pulling away. Tries to climb. We get this great scene of climbing up the side of it, throwing Jawas out, fighting them.
They're throwing junk down on him.
Yeah, cool as shit. He finally gets to the top, and then he gets.
There were like eight of them waiting there with stun
rods. Tasered him, yeah, and then he falls off. And the whole time you see little Yoda chasing him along, which was hilarious. So great. Yeah,
the little fucking bassinet.
And then he wakes up. And was it Queely?
Queely.
Queely, thank
Queel.
You. Assists him in going to the Jawas to retrieve it.
I have spoken.
Yeah, and I love how he's like, I'm not trading with them. They stole this stuff from me. And he's just like, no, that's how it works. You have to trade with them.
Yeah.
And they want some egg?
Well, at first they were like, they want armor.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I'm a Mandalorian. This is my armor. I'm not. And then they're looking at the Yoda baby, and he's like, get the fuck away from him.
Yeah. And they're like, okay. And then they wanted the egg.
Yes.
So he goes and battles this horned beast.
It's basically a woolly rhino.
Yeah. That's a great definition. Yeah. And they have...
It's Mr. Snuffleupagus.
They have a huge fight.
Yes, they do.
And his chest plate gets wrecked. And finally, I love the scene where he's laying... He's got just his knife. He's just holding his knife out, and he puts his head down because it's charging at him. And then Baby Yoda, and no one sees it, Baby Yoda uses the Force to stop the woolly mammoth whatever thing, rhino. And he looks back, sees what Baby Yoda's doing.
Lifts him right off the ground.
Yeah, looks back, sees what Baby Yoda's doing, and is like, holy crap. And then Baby Yoda collapses, and he quickly stabs it and kills it. And
the rhino, not Baby
Yoda. The rhino, yeah. And brings the egg back, and it's just literally like this one egg, they cut the top off and they're all excited to eat the yolk out, which is just a gross scene.
It is.
And, but he gets all his components back and Quill. Thank you. I'm going to fuck up every time.
Quill.
Okay. Quill is like, well, it's going to take a long time to repair this, but maybe if you help, we can get it done faster. And he's like, why are you helping me? He goes, because you brought peace back to my land.
Yep.
Well, let me pay you. No, you can't pay me. Well, will you come work for me? No, this is where I live. I love it. I think it's great. I love the character.
Yes, absolutely.
I love these two episodes.
I absolutely love
these two episodes. I literally watched the chapter one twice. On Tuesday morning, I watched it like, I looked, Disney, I saw on Twitter, Disney Plus is now. And I went downstairs, downloaded the app, signed in, went to the episode, hit play, went, great, I'll worry about anything else later. I didn't do profiles or try to watch or look up anything else.
Because you couldn't at the time.
Oh, I didn't try to. I just wanted to watch The Mandalorian, and I could. I had all kinds of doctor's appointments all day, all kinds of shit I had to do. And then that night before I went to bed, I watched it again. I loved it. On Friday, I watched it for the third time, and I watched episode two twice in a row. And then I thought, oh, I got to watch episode two again before today. So I watched it again last night. So I had to watch each one three times. Maybe it's a bit much.
No, it's not.
But I just, and granted, like the first two times I watched them in detail. And then the third time for both, I kind of like watched them while doing stuff, if you will.
Makes sense.
But I love, they help him repair the ship and he takes off again. And it's him and the child on the ship together. Of course.
Child still passed out.
Baby Yoda wakes up right at the end of the episode, but he's checking on him, mm-hmm. you know, and I don't know. I've seen some of the, obviously in the trailers, I've seen stuff we haven't seen yet. There's other people involved. I know
that Gina Carano's in this. I know that Ming-Na Wen is in this.
Yeah. So I really don't want to know any spoilers for what's coming. Nope. I have no interest because I just want to watch it.
Everything I have is theory.
But man, this is... I don't want to be cliche. This is the greatest Star Wars thing that's come out since Return of the Jedi.
No, somebody said it very well online. They said, watching the first two episodes of The Mandalorian proves that Star Wars was meant to be a TV series.
Okay, yeah.
And I think that that's absolutely... It's like Mr. Robot, finding out that it was written as a movie and thinking, holy shit, it would have been worse as a movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
But here's the thing real quick, going back to that Star Wars as a TV series, each movie is so long and they cover so much stuff. It's got a point. I love the movies. Don't get me wrong. I love all of the movies. Well, okay. I love the majority of the movies. But I wasn't really alive to enjoy the first three,
mm-hmm.
you know, 4, 5, and 6 when they came out. Cause I was too young or wasn't alive.
Tragic.
Right. Well, wasn't until I was like, you know, 8, 9, 10, I could watch them and enjoy them. But I mean, like when they came out, I couldn't go to the theaters to see them type of thing. 1, 2, and 3 came out. And I watched the Ewok movies when I was a kid. Now, whatever. 1, 2, and 3 came out. I was able to go to the theaters and see those. And I was kind of like, huh, not for all of them, but definitely, you know,
yeah.
Jar Jar fucking Binks. So then we didn't have anything for years. So I could still go back and watch 4, 5, and 6 and enjoy it. And I'd watch 1, 2, and 3 with my son. And, you know, he loves Attack of the Clones and whatever. Now, since this new resurgence,
mm-hmm.
I love Force Awakens. Mm-hmm. I don't care. I just loved it. It's what I wanted.
Yeah.
I loved Rogue One.
Oh, Jesus. I loved Rogue One.
Rogue One is amazing. Rogue Absolutely. One is
beautiful.
Tremendously. It's an amazing film. I like the Solo movie because it's exactly what I expect from it. And I know you don't, and I respect and appreciate what it is you don't like.
Yep.
But that's what I like.
Yep.
And then Last of the Jedi. Wait. Yeah, that was the most recent one. Last of the Jedi. Yeah. The Last Jedi. I like Force Awakens better.
Mm-hmm.
I still liked it. I'm super excited for Rise of Skywalker coming out. I'm excited. And then, but I mean, this right here, The Mandalorian, this to me proves that, yes, this last new movie coming out, Rise of Skywalker, it's the final story in the Skywalker saga, and it's sad that it's going to be over. Mandalorian proves that it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Rogue One kind of proved it was okay, but it's still linked in. But The Mandalorian really proves that, hey, it's okay. Basically, we can make a good movie in this and contained in this universe that you can get attached to the characters and like them, even if you only give them the one shot, like the Mandalorian, like Rogue One. But, and I'm excited for the Obi-Wan Kenobi series.
Oh, God, yes.
You know, with Ewan McGregor?
Yeah. Fuck right.
I'm excited for that. So, I mean, like,
if they can do what they did to the Mandalorian with that,
yeah, goddamn. I'm so happy that I can appreciate this Star Wars that we're getting right now.
Yep.
I mean, we already have our tickets for the film. Mm-hmm. So, anyways, go ahead. Please share with me.
Okay. So, this is kind of in depth.
Yeah.
A lot of it's speculation.
Sure.
But here's my thoughts.
Yeah.
Okay. First off, some of those internet nerds that find some stuff, they noticed that doctor that was with Werner Herzog, the one who wanted him alive no matter what, his outfit was kind of interesting. It was kind of imperial, but he had a patch on his arm.
Yeah.
The patch is from the Kamino cloning facility.
Oh.
Now,
it is a clone. This is a clone of you.
Attack of the Clones took place 31 years before The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
They say that this guy has been around for 50 years. Yoda was in charge of the Republican Army who wanted to build the clones.
Huh.
So it is entirely possible that whether he did it himself or some of the people on Kamino did it, that he was cloned 50 years ago.
But why haven't we seen him in 7 and 8? Are we going to see him in 9?
I think so. Because now let's get deeper. That was the surface level. Okay.
Yeah.
So this is clone Yoda. Baby Yoda is clone Yoda. That's my postulation. So
it doesn't have Yoda's memories.
Nope.
Is its own person,
mm-hmm.
but probably somehow has some Yoda knowledge because
he's
50 and has the Force.
Right. And remember, the clone army was all modified.
Yeah.
They were clones of Jango Fett. And they were all modified to grow at an accelerated rate.
Except for Boba Fett.
Exactly.
Because he wanted a son.
He was unmodified clone. So he was basically Jango Fett, but left to age at a normal rate.
Okay.
Okay. So this one would be like that. Would not have Yoda's memories.
Mm-hmm.
This would explain why an Imperial officer and an Imperial scientist and 3 stormtroopers who probably ran a cloning facility because in the extended universe, which I know has been redacted to Legends, but they brought a lot of stuff, like Thrawn, from the extended universe and now made it canon. The Emperor cloned himself to escape death.
Oh.
The Emperor also cloned Luke Skywalker. Again, extended universe. But it would make sense if we had these people who know of a clone of Yoda, because they've been working in these facilities for the Empire and want him alive, because this could be the key to what we're going to see in Episode 9, which is the return of a clone of the Emperor.
Oh, so the Emperor in Episode 9 is a clone.
That's what I'm thinking. Now, I'm going to take it a step further. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be a bigger dick.
Okay, go ahead.
Episode 9, they have said on the record, is Leia's story.
Yeah.
They want this to be Leia's story because that's important. We're finishing it out. The Rise of Skywalker. Batting right out to left field here. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Rey is a clone of Leia.
Ooh. Yeah.
In Episode 4, when she had been captured by Vader, he brought in that interrogation bot. One of the attachments it had on it was a syringe. If they took genetic material from her, directly from her, because of course they have Vader, who's her dad. But if they took genetic material directly from her, thinking that they could grow a clone that they could then swap out for the real Leia, but it would be one under their control.
Huh.
So perhaps they had this material. They've been doing further experiments later on. One of the experiments that they did was on Rey. Rey is a clone of Leia. Which would explain why her and Kylo have such a strong connection, despite the fact they barely ever met each other. They can talk across the Force, which they're like, why can people do that? They've never been able to do that before. Because it's mother and son. Like I said, I'm aiming for left field here. This is kind of wacky.
Did you read that?
Oh, no, this is all me. This is all just me speculating. Based on the fact that if we can accept that that is a Kamino patch and that we are being told that Yoda was cloned, and we know that the Emperor is somehow back in episode 9, and this is Leia's story, but Carrie Fisher is dead.
Yeah.
That would also explain why Rey's parents are unknown.
Mm-hmm.
Because she didn't have any.
Huh.
Well, I could be really wrong.
I mean, you could be, but that's quite interesting.
That's quite interesting.
Yep. So the things that we...
I would like to think, though, that when they wrote The Force Awakens, they knew where Rise of Skywalker was going to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it's
they
not
had
like
three
they,
different directors.
Right. But I think they... I feel like they had to have known this is the path we're taking.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder, did they know they were going to do The Mandalorian? Oh, they did. They did know they wanted to do the TV series. So, I mean, they could have said, hey, we'll tell...
Because remember, Jon Favreau specifically said that the first episode of The Mandalorian had a giant spoiler for the Star Wars universe.
Yeah.
And that's the Baby Yoda. And whether that's as simple as, oh, there's another creature of that, you know, race that's out there.
Or if that's Yoda itself. Yoda
if it's Yoda. A clone.
Yeah.
Could be Yaddle. I mean, she was there on the Jedi Council. Her and Yoda were the only two that we... I mean, she yeah. never spoke, but she was there in one of the seats, one of those big beanbags.
So weren't fucking ETs.
True.
So
yeah, that's my theory. That's the long and twisty road I've taken to get to that theory. Now, much like The Village with M. Night Shyamalan there, if it turns out that I'm right, I fully expect you to turn to me in the theater and be like, the fuck you fucking called it?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
You just ruined this fucking movie for me.
No, it makes sense, really. Yeah.
Could be a possibility. You know, she was one of these clone experiments.
Yeah.
They were trying to make a Leia. Didn't work. She got abandoned on that planet. I see the gears working in your head.
So what else did you have? Anything else?
Oh, no. That's it. But I was just, like I said, I was looking at the timelines and thinking that The Mandalorian takes place 31 years after the Attack of the Clones, which is when the clone army was at its height.
Yeah.
So 50 years, that's another 19 years before that. What are we looking at? We're looking at The Phantom Menace.
Phantom Menace, yeah.
Yeah.
Damn.
Actually, we're a little bit before The Phantom Menace. So.
Huh. Well.
Yeah.
Bravo.
Yoda could have known that he was getting up in the years and decided to clone himself. Or, again, it could have been something more sinister where he was setting up the clone army to be made. He made the deal with the Kaminos, and they took some of his genetic material. Now, if we want to take it even further, if you want to get really wacky with it, without midichlorians, the Force is... The Force. It's a life force. It's an energy that flows throughout the universe and connects everybody. There are some who are more connected to it. The ones who are the most connected to it can actually come back as Force ghosts.
Right.
Is that nothing more than a manifestation of a soul? And if that is a manifestation of a soul, wouldn't it stand to reason that a cloned body of that being could play host to that soul again?
I'm flailing my arms. This is an audio medium, I realize.
So, could it turn out that Force Ghost Yoda or Force Ghost Emperor re-inhabit clone bodies?
I tell you, dude, if that's what they're going with, and you're the only one that called this, you should type this up and put it on the internet somewhere.
Well, it's in the podcast now.
Yeah, that's true. It is an audio record. Fuck.
I'm going to be like, everybody go listen to my fucking podcast. Just skip forward. Listen to the end. But yeah, if it doesn't turn out that way, like if it's, then I still had fun thinking of it.
Yeah, no, it definitely makes you think. But now I'm going to be watching the movie going, is this what's going to happen? Is this going to happen? And if it does, I'm be like, holy fuck. Can't believe you're fucking right.
He was right. God damn it, it's The Village all over again.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's this week's show.
Can't wait to go home and go to bed.
Thanks for I know. Last couple of weeks we've gone hour 20-ish, an hour 220 basically.
But it's The Mandalorian.
Yeah. Well, next week we'll have the one episode to talk about.
It's true.
So. All right. I'm Superstar Mel.
I'm the Quantum Geek, G33K.
That's 187.
Murder, Death, Kill.
Murder, Death, Kill.